Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Let's try this again. I think we've gotten knock wood. Wait a minute, that's no good. There, that's wood. That's nice solid wood there. Knocking for all I'm worth. Knock wood, everything is working. Ben busted his rear end getting things straightened out on the server end. And I've been on the phone with CityNet on this end, and it appears that everything is working, and the packets are passing, and they're all happy, and we may actually get through 3 hours of high-quality conversation radio this evening without me winding up soliloquizing to a cold microphone without even knowing it. You have no idea how frustrating that is. And, well, thanks to all of you for your many kind words and your emails and your condolences regarding the loss in our family. It's still quite a shock, but I don't think under the circumstances that I'm going to be going anywhere down there for any sort of funeral service, because they're really not going to do something like that. So thank you very kindly. This is a little family that we have built for ourselves, and you can certainly tell that in times like these. I got to admit, my head is still not completely in the game, but it will be. It will be. But we'll have us a high old time tonight. I'm certain of it. And you know the phone number, of course, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. That is also, that is complimented, of course, that's toll-free, but if you want to carry the freight yourself, you can also dial 304-658-3333. It all comes to the same place. Email rolls into bob@headonradio.com, and I'm looking forward to whatever's on your mind this evening. Like I said, you know, head's not really in the game, so I'll tell you that frankly, there are a lot of places to start this evening, any one of which would be more than a rational place. In case you don't know it, I think the best place to start is probably the latest by comparison, I suppose. The latest piece of news out of the southeastern United States: TVA has done it again. Yep, this time in Alabama, at a place called Widows Creek. The Widows Creek power plant in northeast Alabama dumped about 10,000 gallons of gypsum material. The sludge pond at the Widows Creek plant ruptured. They claim that the spill has been contained. It happened about 6 a.m. This morning. A.m. this morning. That kind of 6 a.m. today. There we go. They're saying we know it was a one-time event. There's not additional material being released at this time. We will look at Widows Creek to determine if there's any negative impact to aquatic organisms. Ah, come on, guys. If to assess the amount of negative impact to aquatic organisms. How about that? They say, we had an upper pond of water that's generated from an air pollution control device, not coal ash. That material flowed into a second pond, and when it did, it overwhelmed the second pond, and some of the liquid overwhelmed the spillway and went into Widow's Creek, which goes into the Tennessee River. Brother. They've said they've deployed booms on Widow's Creek to contain the spill. That remains to be seen. So that's it. This, of course, on the heels of a hearing in front of the Senate just yesterday, in which at least Barbara Boxer got some licks in. There weren't a lot of fireworks, but Barbara Boxer did deliver some pretty stern remarks that were much needed. So we'll see what comes of this. Or if at any time anybody will, the question is whether America collectively is able to finally close the loop on exactly what our dependence on coal means for this country. Of course, there will be massive PR efforts, I imagine, at some point. Although it would appear that clean coal, I know John Wathan hates that phrase, I do too. That whole PR nightmare appears to be on hold at least a little bit, and that much is inspiring. So that's a starting place. Other things, Rod Blagojevich, impeachment vote in the Illinois House of something on the order of 114-1 today. And an interesting ruling by Attorney General Michael Mukasey, if you had any misgivings, and I don't know why you would have, about that man being a decent human being, you can put him aside now. He says that people challenging deportation orders, among other things, people challenging, what's the best way to put it? At a deportation hearing, Michael Mukasey says that the people being sought to be deported have no right under American law, U.S. federal law, have no right to challenge the fact that, or to assert that they had ineffective assistance of counsel. In other words, if you've got a lawyer who is, as is often the case in capital crimes in places like Texas, asleep at the switch, literally, you can't complain about it. And if you get stiffed and you get a bad ruling and the law goes against you, even though you've got the foul, whatever, Michael Mukasey says that you cannot raise ineffective assistance of counsel in a deportation hearing or in an appeal of a deportation ruling. Wow. Just wow. The repercussions of that are quite stunning. And maybe we'll get into that a little bit later in the program. But for now, let's go to the phones and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, Susan, what's up?
The TVA said that they were checking to see about aquatic contamination?
Yes.
Tell me, what is, I realize it isn't the TVA, but what are they going to say when that dam above Marsh Fork Elementary goes and takes out that school?
And takes out that community.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Are they going to tell the parents of, or the relatives of those people that are killed, most of them children, that they're checking for contamination? What are they going to do? Check the corpses?
Yeah, I know. I know. Crazy, isn't it? And of course, it's verified that that particular sludge dam is leaking at the toe.
Yeah. And they're not even making any attempt to make the stupid coal company fix it because it's a private dam.
Well, as has been pointed out, at one of those locations, there was a big permit hearing about that just a couple of days ago. And a lot of residents came down about the coal silo there at the power at the prep plant right next to the school. A lot of residents of the community came and just gave Hail Columbia to the Department of Environmental Protection. That's the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection. But it's one of those things where, you know, no matter how much noise they make, the DEP is on the take. So just, well, actually, they're not even on the take because they're not getting paid. They're just, you know, they're just giving it away for free. For the coal industry, so they'll probably, it is highly likely that Massey Energy may get away with this, but there is an upsurge of indignance over having children have to go to school in circumstances like that.
But, you know, I just don't understand, well, I understand it because, you know, they're not fixing it because they don't give a, pardon French, flying, you know what, because to Massey Energy or whoever it is that actually owns the dam, these people are not people.
Right. They're what?
Basically, like the Israeli, like the Palestinians in Gaza, they are people. Nits make lice.
Yeah. It's a tough thing to swallow, something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a terrible thing to be in effect told you're not even worthy of being human.
And that's about the size of it.
I for one am getting really, really ticked, and frankly, if the dam goes and some parent loses a kid and basically he's lost everything. Finally, he decides he's had enough and puts a bullet in Gerald, what's-his-face's name, head. I don't give a rip.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, I don't think anybody's going to do that, though, because just about everybody associated with the move to end mountaintop removal has espoused and follows principles of nonviolence.
Oh, I'm not talking about the mountaintop removal people. No, I'm talking about somebody who's lost everything. You take away everything a person has, and they have nothing left to live for except revenge. And that's when the head of Massey Energy had better start hiring bodyguards.
Oh, he's already got him. He's already got him. He goes around with them, yeah.
Yeah, you cannot stop somebody who is an assassin who is willing to die. And if somebody who really doesn't give a flying rip if he lives or dies, he's going to take you out. Pay attention, guys. Remember the French Revolution. These people had nothing left to lose.
And that's
history.
That's a hard place to be. And dangerous things happen, but that's why it's important to end it and make these people clean it up now before something disastrous can happen.
Exactly, because I'm one of those people, and unless you think I'm a spouse suggesting this should happen, I'm not.
No, I know that. I know that.
Well, I'm talking to Agent Fred.
Oh, okay.
Agent Fred, I'm not suggesting somebody should do this. I'm saying. It's a historical inevitability. Sooner or later, it will happen if you do not pay attention and fix it. You don't have to throw the peasants much. You just have to throw them a crust now and then.
Or, you know, just not poison them actively.
Yeah. Just kind of fake it a little bit. You know, consider what the Russian peasantry put up with for all those centuries.
Yeah.
Until 1917. And then finally they just had it. You know, just that's all true.
Yeah.
Set off a bloodbath that wouldn't quit.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned all of this, Susan. There is an editorial in today's Beckley Fish Wrap. It's really not much of a newspaper, frankly. But you can see it at register-herald.com, register-herald.com. And it says, the name of the op-ed piece is Debate, Coal versus Wind, Why Choose Just One? And these people really make me nuts. Because they start out saying, coal versus wind, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be one against the other. Yet it seems that elected officials are being pressed to choose one or the other. In other words, gooning on our efforts to get the wind farm at Coal River Mountain. Because they go, and this is how loony it is. Say what you will about mountaintop mining. See, they won't even call it mountaintop removal. They won't call it mountain removal. Because they are deep in the pockets of big coal. Say what you will about mountaintop mining, and we will not debate the issue here, except to say it is legal, employs more than 6,000 workers, produces an annual payroll of at least $300 million, yada, 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 yada.
Uh-huh. And kills I don't know how many people over the long run.
But their initial premise, though, you see, Susan, is dead wrong. It is not legal. If the laws on the books were actually enforced, no one would be able to blow up a single mountain in Appalachia.
Exactly. But they're not enforcing the laws. And not to mention the fact that it completely ignores the laws of thermodynamics. Because if you blow the top off a mountain, you no longer have that updraft that provides the wind.
And there you go.
There goes your wind farm.
Right. Because many of us aren't that close to these things, I guess we don't give it a lot of thought, but an industrial wind turbine such as what is proposed for Coal River Mountain, is 30 stories tall.
Yeah.
Base to hub. Yeah.
Big sucker.
And so you still, I mean, in other words, you've got to get it up another 300 feet to get into the wind that we're talking about. And so, you know, you lower the, it is one or the other, frankly. Because we're running out of places to put them. Not because we've got so many wind farms, but because they've blown up so damn many mountains.
Well, also plus the fact that the Appalachians are not exactly what one would consider tall mountains. They've been ground down.
They used to look like the Himalayas.
Yeah. And, you know, the Rockies, they're not. You know, you can stick... You know, you can put wind turbines all up and down the gorge. In fact, they are up and down the Columbia River Gorge, and they're not very tall at all. They don't have to be.
Right.
But then you've got this natural funnel for wind. And, you know, you've got the elevation because of this subduction zone, which is forcing the plate up. Whoop-dee-doo. On your side of the continent, the mountains are going, they're dying. They're going away.
Yeah. Well, dying or being killed.
Well, yeah, but you certainly don't need help from Massey Energy and Company to speed it up. They're going to do it eventually all on their own.
Indeed.
Give it time.
But, you know, it's an ugly little coincidence that another one of these things failed at another TVA operation, but they're going to keep failing, especially at,
yeah.
I mean, we've been inundated with, and I know there are other parts of the country saying, well, we sure like to have that. We've been inundated with rain lately.
Hey, I-5 has been closed between Seattle and Portland for 2 days.
And I had an email from Cindy, who's a little bit north of you. You know, she's up in Washington State. And said the floods are back near her too.
Oh yeah, they've got Western Washington is getting hit really bad. Now the flooding is moving south because it's all dumping into the Columbia and headed towards me. And fortunately, I live on a nice shelf of basalt that has never flooded. Ah, thank you, Lord. But some of these people who out by Carnation in Washington, which is basically farmland, which is heavy-duty milk producers, and Tillamook in Oregon, milk and cheese producers.
Mm-hmm.
They're underwater, which is they're running the possibility of completely losing their herds to drowning. I-5 is completely closed. You can't even see it.
Holy. But no, the climate's not changing. That's just.
No, the climate's not changing. My fact, push, it's not changing.
Well, how long have you lived in that region, Susan?
I was raised in Seattle.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah. And we didn't do things like this. We would have a 100-year windstorm occasionally, but flooding like this, nah. And then every 20 years or so, we'd have a quarter inch of snow on the ground, and that shut down the entire town.
And now, I mean, this is 2 years running for that flooding?
Yeah, well, we had huge flooding in 96. We've had huge flooding here again this year. In 2004, we had huge snow and ice storms, which shut down the entire Portland area. I know I ended up with a busted ankle out of that one. This year, we had a huge snow and ice storm, which shut down this entire area. And the intensity is getting more and more intense, and the frequency is speeding up.
So, in other words,
don't talk to me.
It happens more, and then it happens more frequently both.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't tell me there's no climate change, because I'm living it. And so is the lady in Washington.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, that's about as far, where you are is about as far away from me as you can get and still be in North America.
Yeah, this area is known for its rain. It has the capacity to soak up an enormous amount of water. And still not have a problem. Okay. Not only does Washington have flooding, but also all three of the major passes heading east are shut down.
Wow, it's almost like you're isolated.
They are they're shut down due to either landslides and or avalanches.
Something wicked this way comes, you know? Big darkness soon come, yeah.
And it's getting really, really bad. Our only consolation is the fact that as the temperature inevitably warms up overall, we're going to be in a lot better position than Arizona. But let's face it, it's going to get very strange.
I have a feeling you're right. Well, I don't have a feeling you're right. I know you're right.
Oh, yeah, it's going to get really, really weird. And what really scares me is if, you've seen An Inconvenient Truth.
Yes.
Okay. Al Gore made a very brief mention of it. And he said, you don't want to know what happens if the Greenland ice cap melts. That's what scares me. Is if the Greenland ice cap melts.
Yeah, it's like dropping a giant ice cube in a glass of water.
That's not the problem. What it does is it shuts off the Gulf Stream. It shuts it down.
Well, that too, yes. And considerable.
And that triggers an ice age.
And we're fresh out of woolly mammoths, aren't we?
Yeah. And I got news for you. Nothing competes with the glacier. If it decides to move, get out of its way, because you're not going to fight it. Ain't life wonderful? And then on top of that, massive energy.
Yeah, we're not exactly started off for our little lighthearted Friday, are we, Susan?
No, we're not. And it's just, no. Blanket ship. I really wish somebody...
Well, you know, he's on the way out. They're bringing another guy along who's going to be the public face of Massey.
Yeah, but he's still the same. He's let's face it, he's another blanket ship, same thing.
Yeah, we'll learn to despise him, too.
Yeah, you know, same creature, different name.
Yeah.
The whole thing's just exactly the same.
Different creep, same creepiness.
Yeah.
There we
and
go.
The whole thing is, these people will not learn. They're like Madoff. They will not learn. You know, gimme. I want it. I want more. Well, how much more? More.
And that's how much.
Through the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Never mind the fact that if you go down with it, that man, those people will go down to their deaths screaming, I don't have enough.
Well, you know, it's like I've frequently noted, they haven't figured out yet that they don't pull U-Hauls behind hearses.
Yeah. And it's just, unfortunately, there is no way to have a come to Jesus moment with them because I don't think there's any way you can get through the thick heads. I really wish I could. I'd like to slap them upside the head. But, yeah, I wish we could get somebody to at least visit Marshbrook.
Oh, lots of people are.
From the Obama administration. And to go visit that leaking dam. For one thing.
That leaking unlined, yeah.
Yeah. For one thing, I think Obama would get a real hint when about the whole thing if he mentioned that he wanted to go visit this, you know, see the bottom of this dam. And he would get about the whole a real hint about the whole thing because probably the Secret Service would say, "Sir, I'm sorry, it's too dangerous."
Too dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know he's got little children, and it's simple enough to say, "How would you like to send? You know, how would you like it if your girls were going to school here?"
Yeah.
And if it's not okay for them to go to school here, why is it okay for anybody to go to school here? It's not that tough an equation.
And, you know, don't tell me that you can't move that school. How many kids are in that school?
A couple of hundred.
Roughly.
Yeah, a couple hundred. It serves grades K through five.
Yeah, don't tell me that there isn't a building, a warehouse, something. Somewhere else.
Well, actually, around there isn't. That's the whole reason that Pennies of Promise is out there trying to raise the money to build the new school, because the state won't. Because if the state builds a new school, it is a tacit confession that
the state won't build it.
That the children don't need to be there in the first place. So, you know.
Who is Obama's nominee for the EPA?
Why can't I remember? Can't remember her name right now.
But
she's from New Orleans and was EPA at Jersey. So, if that tells you anything.
Well, if I can find out.
But, you know, hey, Dr. Stephen Chu. Let Dr. Stephen Chu have a look.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who's already come out and said, you know, coal is a national nightmare.
Yeah, or better yet, yeah. And on top of that, he's named his Surgeon General designate. You know, I realize you're not too happy about it.
No, now he didn't name Sanjay Gupta.
Well,
they just floated Sanjay Gupta as a balloon.
Yeah,
and you gotta you gotta give it to Sanjay Gupta. He's kept Larry King alive all these years.
Oh yeah.
Ba-dum-bum. I stole that from Conan O'Brien.
When he names him, let's jump all over him. Say, hey, there is a health hazard here.
Well, see, and there's another problem, Susan. Who does Sanjay Gupta work for? CNN? What has CNN been doing for the last year and a half?
Probably pushing coal.
Taking millions from the coal thugs, the coal mob, the coal mafia.
Yeah, well, it's time he demonstrated his willingness to work for the people of the United States. And if he's not willing to, maybe he shouldn't be Surgeon General.
I think he shouldn't be Surgeon General, even though, oh gosh, maybe one, it was Slate or somebody. This is a great pick. No, it's not a great pick. This is Rick. This is the Rick Warren version of Surgeon General of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Surgeon General really is more of a figurehead position anyway. It's not like he's got an office somewhere and sees patients.
I'd like to find the modern day version of C. Everett Koop. The man stood up to the entire Nixon administration. It was Nixon, wasn't it?
Reagan.
Okay. And came right out and said what he said, and devil take the hindmost. And Reagan was not happy.
Made Reagan like it. He didn't smile.
Yeah.
And
but shoved it down his throat.
Well, do you remember Jocelyn Elders? Do you remember the right-wing hissy that they had over the fact that she dared talk about, masturbation?
Yeah. Oh, God, can't say that.
And, right, and, the airwaves were on, well, what will we tell the children?
Tell them it's fun.
Can I just do it till I need glasses?
No, actually the only thing you have to know is you stop when your palms turn hairy.
I'll be damned. So many things just got explained. Stop. You're taking me places I don't need to be going, Susan.
Does that explain why you're having so much trouble with the keyboard? The hair sheds.
Stop. See, I'm not playing. I'm not playing anymore. Just, no, not going to do it. Not going to do it. There we go. Getting past it. 20-second silence. Getting past it.
You and Binky.
Yeah. Hey, Susan, have a wonderful weekend, I hope.
Well, I shall endeavor to, and give my love to Agnes.
All righty, I certainly will.
And all the kids.
Okie doke. Talk to you soon, and hey to Donald.
Okay.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Yeah, that's a conversation for another never show. Yeah. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm getting along, I reckon.
You reckon?
I reckon.
Weird
days, just weird.
Really?
Well,
I didn't hear the very first part of the program.
No, so. just we had a lot of tech problems. And
you did yesterday, too, didn't you?
Well, I mean, we've been today, all the way into today, getting them, we hope, resolved.
Oh.
The Internet has just been rather weird on both ends. Ben got his problem solved and then said, see if it works. And then I had to reboot the whole studio and...
Mm-hmm. I've been having a whole lot of problems with my computer, too.
Have you really?
Oh, gosh, yeah, for going on a month. I mean, all kind of stuff. Had all kind of viruses.
Well, I think that I have seen, and I was talking a little bit with our IT professional, world's greatest past and future LGBT conversation radio host, Peter Godbold. And told him, I'm seeing this huge uptick of spam, and they're all, for a while it was all, please help me spend my money, I'm a Nigerian widow, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But now this latest round of them are really dirty. I've got a webcam, you want to see me naked? No, I don't. Yeah.
I've got them where they're talking about child porn, too. And I've reported it, but it doesn't seem to help.
Oh, that's icky.
Yeah, I reported it to the company, the Bright House. But
well, okay. Here's hoping it settles down a little bit.
Yeah, that's what's really bad.
Well, on my end, I got to tell you, there's nothing more frustrating than sitting there and doing a bunch of show prep and being ready to go. And then it's like when you get in the car and you turn the key and it doesn't start. It's frustrating.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun, ain't it? I've been through it many a time. I've been through it. We can swap proper war stories with vehicles.
Yeah, vehicle horror stories. Yeah.
I call them war stories, I'll tell you. But, now, one reason I wanted to call was I heard on Air America, Ron Reagan has got a show on there now, and I don't know when it comes on, but sometime I listen to go on there and listen to some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to have, it said today's show, so I don't know, but anyway, it's about the fiasco, the problem up in
Tennessee.
Tennessee about the oil,
yeah,
the coal.
The coal, yeah, the coal fly ash, sure.
So I think he's a good guy. I really like him.
He seems very intelligent.
He is.
I'd heard a little bit about that. I'm going to try to chase it down over the weekend and see if there's some way I can listen to it.
Well, if you can get Air America on your internet,
mm-hmm,
and go, and it'll have things that you can listen to. You might could even...
I didn't know if they were charging for their podcasts or not.
I know. Well, they're not charging for the latest ones. I don't know about the older ones. I don't know. I never did. After they started charging for them, I didn't listen. But, I've heard some. He's had a couple on lately, one about Ann Coulter. And you want to hear something funny about her and him that I heard a few years ago?
Sure.
He was on, WNBC. He was like a guest at that time. And she was on, too. And, of course, she'd always come out with a book. And they got into it, and she said, well, your daddy was the greatest president you'd ever, And I guess she thought he was just going to melt. And, anyway, he kept saying stuff about, He kept letting her know, he didn't like what she believed. And she said, well, you just haven't read my book. And she just kept on saying every time he would say anything. And he said, you know what, Ann, I have no intention of reading your book. And he said, I have better things to do with my time than reading your books. And I love that.
Smack.
So, yeah, I think he's great. I mean, he's just the opposite of his brother.
Oh, his brother's just an evil. Yeah. Michael.
And he's got a good sense of humor, when he knows people don't like a lot of what his daddy, he loves his daddy, but he didn't. He's always been a liberal. And I think his sister, too. The other ones that were raised by Jane Wyman were Republicans.
Well, wasn't it Jane Wyman that converted Ronnie in the first place?
No, it was Nancy's stepfather.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was. When they started going together, he said, "Well, he's fine, except he's got to change his politics or something like that." But he was real straight laced right wing, But. I don't know what Jane Wyman's politics were, but.
Well, maybe I was wrong. Maybe she was a Democrat.
I think so, yeah. But, yeah, he was like a brain surgeon or something. He had raised her.
Oh, well, that explains everything. He, at some point in time, while Ronnie was asleep, he removed his brain.
Could be.
And that's how Ronald Reagan became a Republican.
Yeah.
Because, you can't be a Republican and have one of those things in your head.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But, I'll give you a little update on the review. I mean, not the review, the view.
The view, yes, please.
The one thing they were talking about, Whoopi was upset about Burris, about him not seating him when they had, the guy was that appointed her hadn't been convicted yet. Of course, he's been impeached today, but he's still not convicted.
Right.
And did you hear about Burris going to the Supreme Court of Illinois?
Yes, I did. And
the outcome?
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag, wasn't it?
Well, he wanted them to make the Secretary of State sign the form, and they said that he didn't have to.
It was kind of that he didn't need to, too, wasn't it?
Didn't need to, yeah. Wasn't. So.
Well, it's a mess, and the longer it drags out, the worse it makes us look.
But I did find something. I thought something was kind of interesting about Elizabeth.
What's that?
Well, she had been out the first day because her grandfather had died, and they were when she came back, they were talking about it. And Joy said to her, "said Doesn't your daddy have a ponytail?" She said, "Yes." She said, "Well, how did you end up believing the way you believe with a daddy like that?" She said, "I don't know. My dad is trying to figure it out too. So I guess her daddy is not Republican." I thought that was a little bit interesting.
Well, it is. It is.
I didn't know that, but basically, it's all. I don't know. There's been a few things on there that, you know, Obama interrupted yesterday, and today I didn't hear all of it. You know, I have to have a life about something else, too, you know. I'd answer the phone.
Well,
once in a while, I have a little bit of other life.
Yeah, you got to
anyway.
At least try.
But anyhow, I think that's mostly what it was this week, pretty much. I did see something about Sarah Palin. You know, she's decided
to say snarky things about Carolyn Kennedy now.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, because here she is complaining about the way she's been treated, and then she wants to bring up, you know, about the class thing, make it a class thing. It's exactly what we were talking about the other day, and you've said a lot anyway about if they do it, that's fine. If you do it or even think about it,
yeah,
you're a dead duck.
Yeah, that's the I-O-K-I-Y-A-R thing.
Right.
It's okay
right.
If you're a Republican.
Right. But, yeah.
Oh, well, did you see the thing where, and, you know, somebody needs to tell Sarah Palin that her 15 minutes are up. Among other things, this woman is so dirty. It turns out that when the little baby Trip Keyshawn Flapjack Johnston, the Bristol's new baby, it turns out that the baby's father's mother, who is who's you know apparently an OxyContin dealer, mm-hmm. allegedly, it turns out that her bust and her investigation was curtailed and shut down and railroaded and dodged and dummied up during the political campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And every trooper who worked on it has said, "Oh yeah, the governor's office put the heat on us."
All right.
So at some point in time, I would think that that woman may very well get impeached if there's any honor at all left left in Alaska.
Yeah, but, you know, every time it's like her, you know, like.
Well, that's the thing I was getting to. I guess in this interview at some point she saw a picture of Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann. And she screeched, "Ooh, he's evil." He's evil.
I missed that one.
Oh, yuck. I know. Well, yeah, lucky you.
Anyway. Well, I won't take up any more of your time. I'm kind of mindless wanderer.
Well, I'm pretty mindless tonight too. So we make a merry pair.
Get all your problems straightened out with everything with internet and everything. I thought maybe last night you were watching a ball game.
Well, I did eventually, but mostly
did it
I was dealing with.
To your liking,
I did. It did. I mean, I'm no lover of the University of Florida. No big fan. But I can't stand Oklahoma. I just can't.
Can't stand who?
Oklahoma. than I did the Big 12 in general. Just ugh.
Yeah.
And so they got their come up, and so, you know, Oklahoma had a bunch of people running their yaps about how they were going to stomp the daylights out of Florida.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen that way.
Sound like right wingers to me.
Well, there are a lot of those in Oklahoma. That's another reason for me to, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is, what, four or five straight big game losses in bowls for Oklahoma. And, you know, can't get the job done. Just can't.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did get to enjoy some of that, but mostly it was about technical problems.
I had to go pick up a cat. I had a cat. Now, what is it? What do you do to the females? Spay?
Spay.
I get it. I know it's neutered for the male, but I...
Yeah, that's, yeah, spay. Yeah, spaying for the... Yeah,
yeah, I finally found this cutest little veterinary place you've ever seen. These two girls work there. I think the regular doctor comes in and, you know, and does the surgeries like on... once a week, and they do it so much cheaper and everything, you know. One place wanted like $250 for just one cat, and that's ridiculous.
Ouch.
And we've got like the...
I love cats, but why would you pay for one? I know, but you don't choose cats. Cats choose you.
I know, but, you know, I found it better off when they're fixed. They don't have a bunch of kittens.
Yeah, oh, well, doubtless.
And then the males, you know, they don't wonder. But they had, like, we have a humane society, but they only do maybe 10 surgeries a month.
Mm.
So you have to be on a long, long waiting list. But anyway, that's why I didn't hear you last night, and then I told Charles I turned on and I thought I heard classical music, and I told Charles, I said, I bet you Bob's watching his game.
Well, at
but
least
I didn't know you was having all that much problem.
Well, at least we're clear till March Madness and basketball, as long as the Mountaineers,
you know,
the Mountaineers are in it.
I heard the other night, I heard somebody on your show that I hadn't heard in a long time, and that was Peter, and I was glad to hear him. I like him.
Oh, Peter's wonderful. We did a little tech work
last night.
Of course,
I think we got a lot of great people on our show listening in.
Oh, that is the absolute truth.
And calling in and all, you know. It's just such a wonderful show.
Well, thank you, Juanita, and you have a wonderful weekend, okay?
You too, and God bless you in every way.
Thank you very much. Right back
okay,
at you, Juanita.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, rolling right along. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Sooner or Gator? Oh, never mind.
Gator.
They walked right through that defense, didn't they? Oh, well. I didn't even really care. I now just heard highlights, but I guess it would have been a good game. I don't have all that.
It was a sloppy game is what it was.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
But, you know, I feel a certain degree of sympathy, Kate, for anybody having to play in one of these things because – for a football team, establishing a rhythm is rather important. Mm-hmm. And there's so many commercial breaks because they sell that thing so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you establish that rhythm because it seems like every three plays, the little guy with the red hanky walked out on the field and, well, we'll be back with more commercials right after this football, you know.
Whatever. I'm glad that you're back on the air tonight. I'm glad that the packets are all packed and the electrons are all doing what they're
doing. Yeah, mostly things seem to be behaving themselves. I'm experiencing some significant slowness with the production computer here, but everything's holding up so far, and unless it all just crashes, we should mm-hmm. be able to get through these 3 hours. Cross your fingers, knock on wood, throw some salt over your shoulder, whatever.
Whatever. I stay at the office because it's too frustrating for me when I rush home to get on at 5 Central. I boot up and then all that stuff has to load and the virus thing has to install, and then the other thing has to install, and the buffer won't hold. Oh, Jesus. So I get on about 20 after 5, and then Verizon crew goes out for coffee and leave me.
We can't hear you now.
Yeah, right. So anyway, and I also checked back in the archives. I think it's on Wednesday the 31st. Do not come up. And I don't know what, you know, whatever, because one of them that I had trouble with works, but the other one doesn't.
Yeah, I think Wednesday is still a bust, and I will get that thing into the archives eventually, but I hesitate to bug Ben about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because
sure.
Ben is literally up to his chin in alligator and doing everything he can to make belts and luggage.
Mm-hmm.
He's been incredibly busy with a lot of things that aren't even horn related.
Is it impudent of me to ask what's going on at Nova M?
I don't really know. I mean, what I understood to be the case was that they were transferring from one frequency to different studios on another frequency, and it's just been a little more complicated than previously thought.
And Mike had a fit last night. I don't know if you were listening, but he, no, you're watching a football game. He started taking callers at the third hour, the middle of the third hour, and it was dropping the audio, and it was so scratchy, and thought it was a cell phone, and so he dropped that call and went to another one, and it same kind of thing happened, and he finally just said, I am not taking any more calls until you get this straightened up at the studio, and I mean it. I am taking no more calls. I will not subject the audience to this. And I thought, ooh, you go.
Well, it's, you know, it really is.
raising a little bit of hell with the boss.
Well, you know, maybe that's what it takes.
I think so. I hope so. I'm going to try to catch him tonight. And but I don't know what I. A lot of strange things are going on at Nova M, and I'm just not. I'm usually on the inside track, and I'm kind of. Stepped out of the off of the sawdust, and I don't know what's going on. And I just thought maybe you knew, but maybe you couldn't talk about it, so you'd say can't really say.
No, really, I don't know. I mean,
okay.
I know a little bit, but it sounds like you know more than me.
If I find out, I don't know. I'll get a hold of Sean. Maybe he'll let me know. He likes talking out of school. He does not. He won't tell me anything. And so.
Well, you know, something you mentioned our buddy Mike though.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations are due to him to one degree or another. I guess it was over at Liberal Talk Radio, ltradio.blogspot.com. And I guess the best way to say this would be that the guy there, and he's a good guy, ran an informal poll or a poll of some sort just to see, you know, who's your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And... they did a, you know, a top 10 and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to find it here. Yeah, there it is. The Reader Edition Top 10 Talkers of 2008. And, it goes without saying that the horn didn't make it. Neither me nor Guy nor Mark nor John nor anybody else. I think they were only talking about terrestrial broadcasting and satellite
Probably.
And stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Cedar was number 10, Randy Rhodes was number 9, and way up there at number 1.
Really?
Mike. Yeah. So congrats to Mike.
Is that what's that place? I'm
yep.
emailing tonight and telling call him, I mean congratulating blogs what?
You're almost as organized as I am right now, and I thought my head wasn't in the game.
I don't do all those things because I'm on the computer all day at work, and then at home I don't have the luxury of bouncing around on the internet. So what's it called?
It's called LT Radio.
Oh, okay.
.blogspot.
Okay. Well,
.com.
LT Radio. Okay, and he got number 1. Okay.
Yeah. And
who was between Randy and top 10?
Well, by the way, the author says it was an absolute landslide for Mike.
Yeah.
Let's see. Number 10, Sam Cedar. Number 9, Randy Rhodes. Number 8, Bill Press. Number 7, Mark Thompson.
Good. 7?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Number 6, Stephanie Miller. Number 5, Lynn Samuels.
Really?
Yeah. Number four, Rachel Maddow. Number three, Alex Bennett.
Yes.
Number two, Tom Hartman. And number one, Mike.
Oh, my God. Woo-hoo. Oh, way to go, Mikey. Well, anyway, I was checking in. I was trying to get into the archives because one night I think I got home late and I got all that booting up, filling the buffer kind of thing problems. And all I heard was, all I heard was you saying, well, I don't think Kate was being disingenuous. And then I thought, excuse me? I can't even spell that word. well, never mind. I was going to go way off someplace else. And then I heard the caller, I don't even remember who it was, the next thing I heard was a rant about the Time Bomb 2000 website and how evil they were and how they were selling fear and all that stuff. And the implication, because of my choppy stream, I wanted to make sure that if the caller was thinking that I was endorsing Time Bomb 2000 and all the products that are on the...
Oh, yeah, that was David from Maine. No, that's where that comment happened. And, yeah, you shot me a note, and I did make sure and make a point of making it clear that you were not in any wise endorsing that stuff.
No, and as an example, what I thought was being implied was that the owner of the website was selling all that fear-mongering stuff, and he doesn't. He doesn't even those are all paid advertisements on the web page and on their site, on their discussion group. And that group is getting farther and farther and farther away from my my politics, if I had any. And they're just like a bunch of racist evil pigs sometimes. I mean, some of them are. Anyway, all I wanted to do, with the thing that I go there for the most, is to watch that layoff thread, and it's getting larger and larger and larger. And Susan nailed it right. When I heard this last night on the weather, I check in on the weather in the evening and heard that I-90 and I-5 are closed because of the rivers and landslides. And that's just another example of it's getting, we're getting really, really close to some major trouble. I mean, the grocery shelves going empty. I mean, if you can't get goods and services in and out of the Seattle area and Portland on I-5, they're literally blocked in.
Yeah.
And the secondary roads are lower than 90 and I-5, and so there are some ways to work around Mount St. Helens and whatnot, but if the Nisqually River is up, you can't get out around Morton and around Mount St. Helens to get out, and the roads along the river in Washington, the Columbia River in Washington and Oregon are all lower, you know, it's bad news. And if it's just the weather, I mean, think what else can happen I didn't want to go there, but I just wanted to make sure that I didn't know what that conversation was all about, but if anybody thought that I was endorsing the politics.
No, I don't think anybody did. I don't think anyone did.
I just still encourage people to go to Time Bomb 2000 and read the layoff thread because it's getting larger and larger. And when I heard that Alcoa laid off 13,000 people, like 13% of their workforce around the globe, that's sad. And the unemployment rates just keep going up and up and up and up. And I look around and I'm driving on the highway and I think, I wonder if the person next to me is unemployed, if they're going to get laid off, if they're worried, if they're scared, if they're about to lose their house, you know, what if they've got just enough gas to get home. It's pretty spooky out here. So anyway, that was just I just needed to jump in and
sure
rant about the layoffs.
And I'm glad you did mention that, Kate, because there's new numbers out today.
What?
And it's not promising. Job this from the New York Times, where the word gay is replaced in text messages by the word beep, as in beep marriage. Yeah, geniuses.
I had one of them one time.
Did you have a beep marriage?
Black staring nut, full frizzle, lacking spouse of mine. But...
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Headline, jobless rate hit 7.2%, a 16-year high. And you see that word, that number, 16 years, and you don't even have to do the math in your head anymore. You know automatically that number represents the last time a Bush left office.
And we're getting another one, too.
Let's see. December's job losses brought the total for, I'm just going to ride right by that one, brought the total for 2008, right past it. total for 2008 to 2.6 million.
Mm-hmm.
2.6 million. And that doesn't count the ones we don't count. You know, the ones who are discouraged.
Or live in a place where there ain't no damn jobs, whatever.
Well, you see, after you've been unemployed for like twice the amount of time that they pay you for, they take you off the list of unemployed and just say that you're a discouraged worker.
Or when they say, oh, the unemployment rates are up, there has been this X many new hire, whatever, and those people are all going to work in low paying service jobs like McDonald's. If they open up a new McDonald's, they put on, 50 people? So that town can say, well, we've had 50 new jobs this month and whatever. Anyway, I found out something. I'm changing the subject here. Transition sentence. I don't.
You're clear on runway two.
I was blessed by being asked or permitted to ask to go to a supervisor's meeting for the consortium that I work for. When FEMA got ready to wrap up the case management back a few months ago, I don't know, there's about 15 different agencies, or they call them affiliates, come together into a consortium that's run out of Jackson, and mine is one of them, and we're the shining stars in the consortium, of course. And the man who presented his little piece at the beginning of the meeting, the all-day-long meeting that they have monthly, I got to say that I was humbled by by his presentation, and my ignorance was illuminated, and I have a bit of a different attitude toward FEMA. They aren't really the bad guys FEMA conjures up all kinds of things in my mind, and
and incompetence is one of them, but it's not because of the organization, it's because of the people and the operational philosophy behind the organization as it was expressed and visualized by the Bush thugs.
And they are we've put together some reports. I didn't realize that I'm involved in a pilot program for disaster recovery. And they put this together with the blessings of FEMA. We got a grant to run the whole consortium, and that's how we're doing the work and the case management, and we're closing up the cases and putting the files back and when we get the $5 billion or whatever it is for recovery money, these files will all get reopened, and FEMA will have the stats to show this person needs $31,000 to rebuild, you know, and that sort of thing. So that we're compiling stats, and they turned in the first quarterly report last month. And the bean counters were absolutely amazed. They said, we have never seen numbers like this. We haven't seen the information come in this form, in this format. And we had no idea. And so I left the meeting thinking, oh, you know, I've just been such a pompous smart ass because I don't know nothing. And, I just thought I was kind of pleased for the fact that I have a whole new perspective. And it was pretty humbling because, I go around being self-righteous a lot, and it's usually based on ignorance, you know, which is pretty sad. But anyhow, we're doing really good work, and don't know when the project's going to be done. They're kind of waiting on a new contract to come through. We might be here another 3 months, but this one might end in the end of February, and then there's the cleanup for 90 days, and so going to be in Dixie for a while. So I don't know, it's whatever. But my my Dixie for Dummies segment is
my favorite.
I learned something that I didn't understand. I thought, well, I don't know what I thought, but when I hear people say, "Well, bless your heart," that is not a nice thing to say. Oh, God love her.
Well, now sometimes it is.
Very rarely.
things like.
I mean, I got some.
Okay. Now, see, that's one of those. That's one of those tonal moments, Kate. If you say, "Well, bless your heart," you know, that's real. That's, you know, thank you, I appreciate it. I used the phrase last night in regard to John Fox trying to pick up the stream because I couldn't.
Uh-huh.
Bless his heart. Now that's a real compliment. However, if a Southerner says, "Bless his heart," "Bless his heart, he couldn't pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel," you know, that kind of thing.
One of the women here in the office was giving examples of oh, God love her, that polka dot dress, that would look so sweet on Sally. Oh, God love you, you look so pretty, even though you have gained some weight.
You are integrating into the culture nicely, Danny. Bless her heart, she's a pretty enough thing, but Lord, she lays that stuff on her face with a trowel.
Yeah, right. Oh, I'm right in the middle of it, and there's a couple here that are just, whoo, my God. And so all this time I've been hearing bless your heart.
Bless your heart. That's real. Now, if it's... Bless her heart, that Kate just don't understand Southern people.
Yeah, right.
It's almost an expression of sympathy.
Yeah, or Southern, just bitchy. I mean, some of them Southern belles can be just, ooh, my God, honey, they're ugly. I mean, the older ones. I don't know that. I don't know too many young Southern women down here, but the older ones who are like 50, 60.
And there's another version too. There's there's love your heart, or there's bless your heart, and then there's love her heart. That one too.
Yeah.
Love her heart. She's nice enough, but I swear I think they dropped her on her head as a baby.
Yeah. Oh God Almighty. Lord have mercy. I just wanted to explain that I'm just coming right along here, son. I'm gonna leave here all contaminated and.
Oh yeah, you'll go back out west or to Arizona or somewhere. And bless his pea picking heart.
Yeah, right.
Pea picking heart. Yeah.
As a waitress, I used to instead of. Some profanity I learned from an old time truck stop waitress when I was in my younger days, and we were working at a pretty pretty rowdy house. It had pretty good bar rush and stuff, and she had big blonde hair and makeup and earrings and stuff, and she always said instead of swearing under my breath, she says, "Well, fancy you." Oh, I must.
Well, you know the story about the Southern twin sisters, right?
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
I thought I'd told this. The pair of twin sisters from down south, each married very wealthy men. And they'd been apart for a couple of years and hadn't seen each other. And sister one said, "Sister, it's been the most lovely 2 years, I'll tell you. You know, my husband, right after we were married, he presented me with a brand new Jaguar convertible." And her sister said, "How nice." And she said, a couple months later, a year later on our anniversary, he gave me a 5-carat diamond solitaire necklace. And her sister said, "How nice." And she said, then later on, we've got a vacation home now down to the beach, and we spend a couple of months there every year. And her sister said, "How nice." And she said,
"These are twins, right?"
Yeah. And she said, "Well, sister, what's your husband done for you?" And she said, well, you know, sister, he sent me to a finishing school. And her sister said, well, what'd you learn? And she said, I learned to say how nice instead of go to hell.
That's kind of it's the vocabulary. And if you don't know your way around here, you can just step on it and step right in it, clear up to your ankles.
Yeah, Reverbo's in the chat room right now, and he says, bless his, her heart is possum country talk for Jesus God, what a loser.
Possum country, I live in alligator land. I live right on the
Well, you got some. Well, you're down there far enough, you got some armadillos.
Oh, I do, yeah. They're out on the road once in a while, slathering pancakes. But we got
not real quick, the armadillos.
No, they're not. They're kind of middle of the road. I live kind of up the bayou, you know, on the way home. It's the moon shining out over the water, and it's pretty nice down here. But wouldn't want to be out in it, but it's sure pretty when the tide comes in, and it smells great when the tide goes out. So anyway.
I just heard from my sister down in Mobile today, and she said it's so warm that the azaleas are budding up.
Oh, yeah. It's we've got that, and there's a Confederate rose tree out in front of my house, and it gets these nice big old red. I think they bloom at night, and they're red, and then during the day they turn white and die or something. I don't know. Anyway, there's a big old tree. It's called the Confederate rose, and then it freezes, and they all turn black and fall off. And
almost sounds like a tulip tree.
Kind of, but not, no, the flowers aren't like that. I mean, this has got leaves. No, tulip trees don't, right? Tulip trees don't have leaves.
Well, they bloom and then they get their leaves.
Yeah, right. I wanted to know what your sister's favorite food was. Do you remember when she was little?
I wasn't around when she was little.
Well, I know, but when you were around.
I'll tell you this much. It used to be when Dad would come up here and spend a few months and then head back to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I'd make a big pot of spaghetti with meat sauce and a big pot of Alfredo and mm-hmm. freeze it all and send it home. Mm-hmm. And that went over real good. But I tell you what my departed sister was said to really love. I make this mixture of seasonings. And it's toasted sesame seeds ground up and lemon pepper and garlic powder and onion powder and black pepper and a couple of other things. And I would grind it up and make these huge bags, and Dad would take it home to her. And she put it on, she just about put it on cornflakes.
Granola.
it's a seasoning. It's usually like you can take a big handful of it and work it into some hamburger and make the most wonderful meatloaf you ever had in your life.
Uh-huh.
But she absolutely loved that stuff, I'm told.
Well, that sounds a little too complicated for my lifestyle, so I think I'll just have a big old plate of, I got some angelic semolina angel hair stuff, and I'm going to put some big old meat sauce, spaghetti sauce.
She was right fond of it.
Mm-hmm. And eat a big mess of heavenly semolina with tomatoes on it, and...
Last time I was down there, when I was down there for a good long while, I made a big old humongous pot of potato soup and took over potato soup and cornbread, and she went wild over that too.
Mm, okay. Well, I'll present these to the dom next door, and maybe she'll want to whip something up in her kitchen. I don't know. Whatever, but I just like to have a little memorial to some the sisters who walked through the veil and Anna. So we'll. What was her name?
Her name was Linda.
Okay. Oh, Linda. Bonita. Beautiful. All right. I'm going to pass on the wand, the talking stick here, and let somebody else get on who's got more intelligent things to say. So I just thought I'd...
You sandbagging people, honest to God. First Ed and now you.
What?
More interesting things to say.
I'm done with interesting things.
Oh, okay. You're done being interesting. All right.
My Dixie for Dummies is supposed to be my kicker, and I just kept on talking. Damn.
Bless your heart.
God love her. She tries. Now, God love her. Now, if she just step over and let somebody else talk for a while. I'm out of here. I've enjoyed the feathers, so I'm going to go home to the skylight and wait for the full moon to come up in it. So check you later.
All right. Be careful. Yeah. Take Bye-bye. Care. Bye. Our correspondent from the Mississippi Gulf Coast, that's Kate. And let's see what else is shaking out here. No. Hey, welcome to the program. Now, this is strange. I've never gotten hold music. We've gotten telemarketers from time to time. Hey, it's cool jazz on the horn for a Friday night. Just relax and enjoy the soothing tones of Lounge Lizard Larry. Star Wars. Well, okay. That was interesting. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Joe Vecchio.
Hey, Joe Vecchio. What's up?
Not much. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I'm just getting over a little stomach flu here.
Oh, fun.
It took 3 days to empty my stomach out of whatever the hell it was that was sitting in there. And that was a pleasant experience. And in the meantime, I'm arguing with people on left-wing blogs who are condemning Obama to failure already, which I find a lovely prospect to begin with. He failed Obama presidency. Get used to it. He's a neocon, you know.
I know. I know. I still get those news updates every day telling me what a miserable human being he is.
Oh, my God. It's really kind of fun looking. And by the way, listening to your previous conversation, I was just laughing, thinking about the differences between how they would deal things with things in the South and how we did things in Brooklyn. You know, because in Brooklyn, we wouldn't have euphemisms. We'd be like, what are you, stupid?
What are you, stupid? Yeah.
What are you, stupid? And, you know, of course, I can't say the word the way we say it, you know, back there, but every other word is the F word, you know.
Yeah. What are you, effing stupid?
Yeah. You know, it's like the Brooklyn alphabet. You know the Brooklyn alphabet, right?
No.
F and A, F and D, F and C. And it's interesting to hear the differences. And I've told this story before when we moved from Brooklyn to Orlando, Florida. And by the way, those of you who haven't been to Florida, Florida rednecks are probably the redneckiest of the rednecks, okay?
North Florida is South Alabama and South Georgia.
Maybe, I don't know, but man, we sure got him in Florida, and some kid called me a Yankee, and I've told the story before, but I love to tell it, and I just looked at him and said, what are you talking about? I'm a Mets fan. You know?
He'll be here all week, try the deal.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that. So.
Yeah.
So, no, basically, I'm calling to say hi and to see how things are going on the horn. I do listen in from time to time, and I listen to your show, and, I just want listen. I did have something I wanted to tell you, and I've been trying to email you, but for some reason your email keeps bouncing, and I'm not really sure why that is.
Try bobkincaid@gmail.com.
Okay, I'll do that. No underscore or anything.
No, just bobkincaid@gmail.com.
Gmail.com. Gotcha. See what I'm doing now, and now the microphone I'm using isn't anywhere near as good as what I used to have, so the quality isn't quite up to par for a live broadcast. However. I decided to take some of my blog entries and just record them and do them as kind of like special commentaries like Keith Olbermann does. Not something on a regular basis, but I just record a blog entry and I'm going to put it up on my blog, but I will leave it free for you to grab if you want to play it during your show or if anybody on the Head On network wants to just add it in as part of their show. They're going to be of indeterminate length. So, I thought I would make these available for you guys. To put them on for your show. So that's what I mainly wanted to get across to you there, because I really want to get back on the air. I feel the need to talk about this stuff all the time because it's really driving me crazy. It's not 2 weeks before the guy's taken office yet, and they're already condemning him. Neocon, betrayal, people who support him are what, chumps and minions. And this is from a website I used to have a lot more respect for. And I keep trying to tell people, you know, he hasn't done anything yet. He's not president. And you're bitching and moaning about Rick Warren, a guy who's going to talk for 90 seconds at the inauguration as a symbolic gesture?
Well, I find Rick Warren obnoxious and an obnoxious choice. But moreover, my beef with it is, why are we why are we churching up the inauguration? There's no requirement for it to be. And there wasn't any churching up the inauguration for a 100 years of this country.
Mr. Obama. And what the thing about it is that Mr. Warren has some political ideas that are in sync with Mr. Obama's, mainly environmental issues. Okay. And he wants help. Obama wants help in those areas. So he's willing to give a purely symbolic gesture, and that's nothing but what this is. It's purely symbolic gesture to a guy like Rick Warren so that he can help out, you know, in those areas.
Yeah, but what about all the folks in the gay community, Joe, who got out and campaigned for Obama and worked for his victory?
He's got pro-gay ministers speaking at the inauguration too. Okay. The point is,
well, I mean, there's only two ministers. There's Rick Warren and there's Joseph Lowry from the SCLC.
He's a good guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, he but you can't characterize Joseph Lowry as pro-gay, but...
The point is, it's nothing but pure symbolism. It has nothing to do with actual policy. Mr. Obama is not going to have anti-gay policies in his administration. I don't think anybody seriously believes that. I don't think anybody seriously believes that the man is a neocon. You know, you wouldn't call Obama a neocon, would you?
Not I.
And not me either. I mean, you know, he's not... You know, look,
I never maintained any illusions that he was any sort of a liberal.
Well, he never ran that way. Can you name the one point where he said, "I am a liberal. I am a hardcore, you know, Dennis Kucinich liberal"? He never said that.
No, he didn't. And
people should understand.
But
that.
I think a lot of people projected their own impressions onto him. And made him a sort of...
And it's an obsession. It's not, okay, look, okay, granted, you had the bitching about Warren and stuff like that, and that's fine. It went on for a couple of days, and that's fine. But then it kept going and going and going, and the thing says there's still people on Democratic Underground every day, 9 or 10 new posts about something new about it.
Well, are you, what about the public pronouncements, Joe? The public pronouncements that he has made, things like referring to... Social Security is being in crisis when we just spent the last 4 years.
But he hasn't done anything yet. What he says in public and what he actually does are going to be two completely different things. He hasn't done anything yet. That's my whole point. He hasn't done anything yet. He can't do anything because he's not president. And he won't be president for another, week and a half.
Well, right? I'll tell you this. I don't like the way some of the rhetoric is shaking out. That the pusillanimous little jerk Harry Reid coming out and saying, well, I don't work for Barack Obama.
Well, that's the problem with Harry Reid, and I think they ought to dump him as majority leader. Frankly, you know, he's an idiot. But that's a Harry Reid thing. That's not a Barack Obama.
But what it points toward, Joe, is the idea, is a notion that I think this Congress is actually going to be harder on Barack Obama than they ever dreamed of being on George Bush. And
yes,
I find that
are.
Absolutely sickening.
Yes, they are. That's where our problem is, especially in the Senate, where you have this massive good old boys club. They're refusing to seat Burris. They're refusing to seat Franken, you know, and they really don't have a right to refuse to seat Franken. You know, it's not up to
them. Norm Coleman's locked out of his office.
Yeah, and
literally.
Well, I'm glad about that. That's the only good thing I've heard about that. We ought to lock Coleman out of the country as far as I'm concerned.
But, I went a little bit nuts last week, Joe, when I read where Texas Senator John Cornyn and Minority Leader Chinless Mitch McConnell had said, well, we'll filibuster that Al Franken, that comedian who thinks he wants to be a senator, we'll filibuster him and we won't let him. If these guys were in the majority, I'd say, well, I guess that's what they're going to do. But they're in the minority, and they're not even just a little. They're in a significant minority.
But they never stop fighting, and meanwhile we're busy fighting each other. Look at the little hissy fit Dianne Feinstein had about Panetta.
Oh, she makes me crazy.
You know, and you sit there and it's like, what the hell are you doing? You know, Mr. Obama's approval rating is sitting in what, about 80% right now for how he's handling the transition. 80%. You know how incredibly high that is. They won't go after George Bush. They wouldn't go after him when his approval rating was in the 20s. What is that saying about our leadership?
It's a little lot disconcerting.
I'd say that compared to the Rick Warren thing, that is a huge problem because Rick Warren is not going to be setting policy. These people set policy. These people have political power, and they can use it to screw things up. And if Obama's moving more slowly than he wants to, it's because he's got to be pressured to do stuff for these egotistical maniacs every minute of every day. He's not going to have the kind of support in the Congress that Franklin Roosevelt had. Because Roosevelt had almost complete control of it. When he said we...
Well, do Democrats actually... Were we in the wilderness so long? I mean, it was 12 years and everything. I understand that, Joe. But were we in the wilderness so long that we forgot how to be a majority party?
I don't think we knew how to be a majority party when we were a majority party, right, Frank? Not since Lyndon Johnson's days. You know, and I wish we had Lyndon Johnson, you know, go over there and send somebody to kick some of these people in the nuts. Obviously not in Feinstein's case, but you know what I mean.
Or at least pick her up by her ears.
Yeah, you know, send the thug over there and smack around a little bit, you know, for crying out loud. You know, wake up. This is bigger than you. You know, this is bigger than your stupid ego. You know, the country's hemorrhaging jobs at the rate of, what, about 600,000 a month for the last 4 months?
Yeah, 574,000 in December.
December.
And those will be adjusted upward. You know, Bush administration job loss numbers are always adjusted upward about 1 or 2 months later.
Right.
So it's probably more like 650 or 700,000. But the unemployment rate has hit 7.2%. And you know, and that's even that number, as Kate and I were discussing, that number's dummied up. Because that number's artificially low. Because it doesn't include those so-called discouraged workers.
Like me.
Yeah, you're a discouraged worker.
Oh, my God, am I a discouraged worker. You go and interview, and, you know, nowadays the only type of work that seems to be available is for people who are capable of raising money for somebody. You know, telemarketers or stuff like that. Quite frankly, I think we ought to have 100% unemployment in the telemarketing field. I would like to see that made completely illegal, to be perfectly honest. You know, look, Bob, you know me. You know my liberal credentials.
Sure.
Okay? As liberal as all get out. I'm for doing things that if I said so on the air, they'd send the FBI around right now, okay? I'm all for that. But I realize that we live in a real damn world, and it just doesn't work that way. I mentioned one of my blog posts about somebody had brought up the Nuremberg trial and all that. And I said, yeah, but look at how we got to that point. Millions of people dead, an entire continent in ruins, two nuclear bombs having to be exploded, okay, or maybe not, you know. But the point is, that was how you got rid of those people. And the Bushes and the Cheneys and all that, the only things they're really good at is grabbing power and covering their asses, okay? And they're going to do everything they can to avoid taking any kind of accountability. And the question is, how far are we willing to go? Because if you think they're going to go quietly just by us arresting them, it's not going to work that easy. And they've got enough BS legal justifications to keep things in court until they drop dead of old age in a nice, quiet, big ranch somewhere. Okay? They're going to get away with it, unfortunately. Unfortunately. But now we've got a massive thing in the economy. We've got the Middle East on the brink of a huge war because Israel can't seem to tell the difference between what they're doing in Gaza and what was done to them in the Warsaw Ghetto, because that's what I'm really comparing it to, the Warsaw Ghetto.
The comparison is it's almost impossible not to make that comparison.
Right, because that's basically what they have. They have 1.5 million people that they jam into a spot. They won't let anybody in or out. They don't give them enough food or water or electricity. And they won't let them make any choice or decision on their life. And they wonder why people get mad at them. Now, I'm no fan of Hamas, but, you know, why are you putting me in a position and anybody else in a position where we have to defend people like that? It's ridiculous. You know, it's like, okay.
Well, and that's, you know, that's kind of been my position on all of that, Joe, is that, you know, damn them both. I know it's unrealistic, but I would just as soon give the head of Hamas a pistol and the head of Israel a pistol and let them get it over with.
Well, you know, put them in a room and get a ruler.
Yeah.
As we used to say about Bush and Hussein, okay? Put them in a room and get a ruler and you know, see how that works.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a sick, sick world, and it really upsets me. You know, when people have serious objections to stuff, you know, I understand that. But the stuff I'm hearing about Obama is not serious, and that's what I keep trying to explain to people. Say, well, you know, we have a right to bitch about something. I say, yeah, but the bitches you're making are stupid. The bitches you're making are stupid. It's not. You know, I'm writing a little story about...
Okay, here's a classic case in point. I have real misgivings about his attorney general nominee. Eric Holder.
Eric Holder.
Yeah.
Keep thinking Henry Rollins for some reason.
Eric
Holder. Some names just stick in your head.
No, I understand.
Because of the whole Mark Rich thing?
No. No, I couldn't care less about the Mark Rich thing. Mark Rich is a POS, but frankly, that doesn't bother me in the least. But that's the hissy that people are having. Mark Rich, Mark Rich, Mark Rich. And it's just, it's a repeat of January 2001 when Mark Rich got pardoned. All right.
It's going to be under, there's going to be any kind of clouds in some way. I mean, how many choices does he actually have? I mean, can you name another choice for attorney general?
Offhand, it depends.
Yeah, and that's the quandary. I mean, I'm not putting this on you, but I'm saying that's the quandary. There's not a lot of choices out there. And Obama's picking people that he thinks will do what he says.
Well, in the case of Eric Holder, just so you will know what my misgiving is, it's the fact that he worked to make sure that Chiquita Brands, that their executives didn't do any jail time when they were caught red-handed hiring right-wing death squads in Colombia.
Mm.
And they were prosecuted for it. And it was Eric Holder who went to the mattresses for Chiquita Brands and, you know, worked with some of his old buddies there at the Justice Department and so forth to make sure that nobody did jail time.
Well,
these death squads killed hundreds, Joe.
Sure. Well, maybe he'll use that influence to work in the other way now. You know, to try to maybe he'll lead a prosecution against the Bush people. Maybe he's tough enough to do that.
Maybe and you know what, if he is, I'll try to get past my objections about you know dead labor leaders in Colombia. But it's awfully hard to swallow right now.
And I understand how you feel, but again, my question is, who are we going to get? I mean, and I realize I use this name a lot, but you can't get Dennis Kucinich for every position. And I use that, and I use him just because he's the example.
Right, in point of fact, you can't get Dennis Kucinich in any position, and yet the guy remains probably the most resolutely American the representative they've got in the Congress.
I'll tell you this, Bob. I agree with everything Dennis Kucinich says. I am in total agreement with him, 100%.
Well, check out what he said about Gaza today.
Hey, that's fine. That's wonderful. You know what? I agree with everything I say. I wouldn't vote for me for any office. You see what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with agreeing. Can he do anything?
Well,
that's
so
question. We got okay. You're the general manager of a baseball team, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a pitcher who really believes that you can get everybody out by throwing a 98-mile-an-hour fastball right in the lower inside corner on every pitch. And he really believes that, and everybody agrees with him. But he can't throw a 98-mile-an-hour pitch on the lower inside corner every time. He can't even throw an 80-mile-an-hour pitch. You see what I'm saying? You've got to be able to do it and not just believe it.
I'm the guy who says that the word believe is the dirtiest word in the English language. I'm with you 100.
I'm not doing this on you personally.
No,
I'm
no,
just
no.
trying to make a point.
No, I understand your point. But I have argued that there wasn't a big talent pool of people who had worked in former Democratic administrations, except for people from the Clinton administration. You know, hell, the Carter people are all, you know, ancient now too.
Exactly, and you don't have a whole lot of choice. You know, and I understand people's frustrations. Everybody wants everything done fast. We have a new president who is infinitely better than John McCain. I mean, I don't think anybody honestly believes that Barack Obama is going to be just as bad as John McCain.
Or as bad as, you know, it is almost impossible in terms of laws of nature for Barack Obama to be as bad as George Bush. But again, and he will likely be infinitely better than George Bush, but that's not much of a metric now, is it?
But it's the best we got. It's the best we got. Who else do we have out there? You know, Senator Clinton, I love Senator Clinton. I actually supported her in the primaries initially. But she was really the only other choice out there. You have to look at experience and you have to look at other things. But how many people did we have out there? I was a supporter of Governor Dean in 2004. And in fact, I would like very much for Obama to appoint him as Surgeon General instead of this Gupta guy.
Hey, now that would
Surgeon General. I mean, that's not, you know, it's an important position, but it's not a policy setting position. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Now, you know, there's another one. This Tim Kaine from Virginia is going to head the Democratic National Committee.
And he was actually one of he was on the short list for VP candidates, wasn't he?
It was said he was, yes.
And I don't know that much about him.
Well, I know. He knows better what should happen in a woman's insides than a woman does. He's one of those.
He's a pro-choicer, wonderful. Well, pro-lifer.
He's a pro-lifer. He doesn't think they're blowing up enough mountains here where I live. He's, you know, pro-coal. And frankly, there's nothing to indicate that he's going to continue following up on the 50-state strategy, which I think was actually a profound benefit and should continue to be pursued.
And I think Obama does want that, but so why he's picking him, I have no idea. But again, maybe it's a lack of choice. Maybe Governor Dean wanted to step down. I have no idea, because I was a little surprised that he left to begin with, because it was his strategy that led to this victory.
Well, when you get a Democratic president in, it becomes his prerogative. It's expected that the chair will step down so that the president can have one of his own choosing.
Well, all I'm saying is I wish we would give the poor guy a chance, okay? I mean, he hasn't...
And I'm doing that.
Yeah. Well, I just hear it from other sites, and it really frustrates me to see us eating our own before we even have a chance, because you see how the Republicans are. They're never going to stop.
No, they're not going to stop until they are... They're not going to voluntarily stop. They will have to be stopped.
You gotta, figuratively speaking, you gotta put a gun to their head.
And you know, I have adopted as my motto for the Republican Party incoming, five words, and I've repeated them frequently since election night where Republicans are concerned. And those five words are: sit down and shut up. And that's what the Republicans need to be told to do. But sadly, on the congressional side of things, it doesn't look like there's anybody really with the starch to do that. I mean, for heaven's sakes, heavens to Betsy, as we say.
God bless him.
God bless him. This business with Norm Coleman. Okay, let's play battling quotes real quick. Mitch McConnell in dealing with the Bush v. Gore thing in 2000, November 27th, 2000, Mitch McConnell said, "We've had a count. We've had a recount. We've had a recount of the recount. It's been 3 weeks since the election, and it's time for Gore to be a statesman and give it up." Now, January 6th, 2009, he says, "The only people who have pronounced the Minnesota Senate race over are Washington Democrats, and the candidate who is the current custodian of the most votes, the people of Minnesota certainly don't believe this is over."
Well, that's the way they are.
Yeah, they will not stop of their own accord. They have to be proactively stopped. I mean, we got some serious stuff coming up. I am proud of the fact that the House passed this pay equity bill, and I think it will probably, maybe it'll get past the Senate if the Republicans don't filibuster it.
Well, you know, there are, and when I talk to Thane about this, and I grant you, he's my source on a lot of this because he follows this a lot more closely than I do. And he also knows Chicago politics a lot better than I do. And from what I gather is that there are three or four northeastern moderate Republicans who are more than willing to vote with the Democrats to create the 60-seat majority that we need.
Well, that would be Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe. Who are the other two?
Three or four. I don't know all the names, but those are two that he mentioned.
Well, if we get to 59, all we need is those two.
The guy from Indiana, Lugar.
Yeah.
Lugar was a fairly much, which is a surprise coming from Indiana, but he's been there forever.
And, possibly, You never know, but every now and then Arlen Specter screws up and does something right.
Yes, but Specter, I don't like Specter anyway. He's another one of those Doug Adams people, you know, the Sirius, the marketing division of the Sirius Cybernetic Company. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
You know, first up against the wall when the revolution comes. You know.
Right.
God Almighty.
love, bless his heart.
What are you, fucking stupid?
Yeah, right.
Sorry, I tried to silence that out.
Well, you came pretty close.
I'm just waiting to see what happens when the guy actually takes office, what he actually does. There's an old saying, never listen to what a politician says, watch what he does or she does. And it really, and I see the real problem because, quite frankly, you know, and no offense to the website that I've been arguing this about, because there are good people on there. They're just, I think, very misguided. You know, and I realize that you're unhappy that Dennis Kucinich didn't win the primaries, but, you know, that's life. And, you know, the guy in there now is who we got.
Yeah, and I'm not arguing to the contrary. But the thing is, to fix this country is going to take real, live, honest-to-God liberalism and no half measures.
But it's still going to take time. I mean, let's face it, the Republicans did not get where they're at overnight. It took them 30 years, even with all the money and all the control of the media that they had. And we have to fight that because, you know what, that machine is still there. You have Britt Hume, this idiot Britt Hume, on TV saying everybody knows that the New Deal was a disaster. Maybe everybody who watches Fox News, perhaps.
Right, or everybody who lives on alternate Earth.
Yeah, you know. And Atrios, I think, said the perfect thing. He said, you know, why doesn't Fox News just go ahead and report the news from an alternate universe where Sarah Palin's president?
The mere mention of the thought gives me the fan tods, Joe.
But you see, the thing is that's the world that they live in.
It very, very truly is.
Alternate universe.
Yeah.
And I'm just frustrated because I'm seeing the same thing that we saw with Bill Clinton, that, you know, and you know, Bart Kopp has got that picture that he shows from time to time.
Yeah, with the knife in the back.
Yeah, and the Senate Democrats are doing the same damn thing to them, and I have no idea why they do this to Democratic presidents, but why they don't do this to Republican presidents. And I really think, you know, and I think that
Obama... Because they're scared of Republican presidents, Joe.
I'm sorry?
They're scared of Republican presidents.
I guess they are. Either that or they got something on them. You know, and other people think that Harry Reid is a mole of some sort, you know, secretly working for the Republicans. And Pelosi. Although Pelosi's, you know, damn liberal.
Yeah, she just sort of wants the starch to get. But wasn't she cute jumping up to clap and yell hooray in the Congress yesterday when Cheney was reading the election results? That was just precious.
And I hope that once the new Congress takes effect that you know, we're going to see some real stuff. And, you know, all I can think is maybe they're just waiting until they actually come in to make some stuff. But I am so disappointed in Harry Reid. The whole Burris thing was handled like a rank amateur. This is not the kind of leadership we need in the Senate. And I really hope that once Obama tries to be nice with these people and it shows to be ineffective, because it will be ineffective, that he sends somebody over to start kicking people in the nuts. You know, send a few Chicago thugs over with the brass knuckles. Make a few impressions.
What are you, stupid? Yeah.
Figuratively speaking, politically speaking.
Right.
Although, quite frankly, literally wouldn't be such a bad idea anyway. I think some of these people need to be smacked around a little bit. Pardon my violence.
Yeah, well, you know, or maybe just go ahead and dive on into Idiocracy World and create a show on C-SPAN called Out My Balls.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I was, you know, and I reminded myself to do it, and I forgot. You when you asked how I was, I wanted to say my stuff's messed up.
Yeah.
Talk like a fag, and I'm basically tarted.
How I do love that movie. Get your hands off my junk. Welcome to Costco.
We're going to do some adjudicating here.
Oh, another great moment with Stephen Root.
Oh, man.
Crooks and Liars the other day. I don't know if you go there or not, but they had that beautiful, beautiful clip out from an old news radio program. And if you just want to giggle, go and scroll down till you find it. Of where you remember Stephen Root played the guy who owned WNYX or whatever the station was in news radio. And,
The TV show with Phil Hartman.
Yeah, and the character's name was Jimmy James, and he was an idiot. And he had written his autobiography, Jimmy James, Capitalist Lion Tamer, and it flopped. So he had it translated into Japanese, and it sold like hotcakes in Japan, so he had it translated out of Japanese back into English. And it's right, for just sheer comic lunacy, Joe, it's right up there with the WKRP turkey drop.
Oh, my God, don't remind me. Every Thanksgiving, I look at that clip again. It's still one of the funniest moments ever on television.
Oh, the humanity!
As God is my witness, I swear turkeys could fly. I thought turkeys could fly.
So,
I watch... In order to keep me sane during these times, I watch as much comedy as I possibly can. I don't have a TV, but that's okay because, quite frankly, a lot of stuff on TV I don't care for very much. But I watch my TV shows either streaming through Hulu.com or anything like that. You know, and I watched I have the second season of Barney Miller. Remember Barney Miller?
Oh gosh, yes.
What a great TV show! And I keep thinking, you know, Barney Miller wouldn't last five minutes in this New York PD. In this NYPD. Inspector Luger would love it. I think Inspector Luger would love the taser. And for those of you young people out there who don't know what the heck I'm talking about, find Barney Miller. See, I think they have a few episodes on Hulu the first couple of seasons. Watch this show. It's one of the best shows ever. And you look at the cops, and they're so compassionate to everybody. Even the cooks, like, would you please take a seat over there, Mr. Johnson? You know?
Yeah.
Can you imagine cops doing that these days? Can you imagine that at all?
Yeah, go sit down over there. I'll tase your ass.
Yeah, exactly, basically, you know, or put your hands in the air now.
Well, that's why I've really enjoyed, and I guess it comes back this month, new series over at ABC called Life on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2008 cop who gets a head injury and wakes up in 1973.
Yes, I've heard about this, and I have yet to watch an episode. I should grab a few.
It's well worth the effort. It's strangely appealing. I sat down and got hung up on it, and I no sooner got stuck on it than the season ended, and I've sort of been waiting for it to come back. But it comes back, oh gosh, Wednesday, let's see, this coming Wednesday, I think. And, you can watch episodes of it on, ABC's website.
See, and I love that you're able to do that now. I think the computer's new way of going to be eventually the new way of getting things together. And Obama's talked about increasing our infrastructure in that because, you know, of all the industrialized countries, even though we invented the internet, we have the worst service of all the big industrialized countries.
Oh, without a doubt. And the fact of the matter is, I think I mentioned earlier in another program, Great Britain just rolled out or the UK 37 meg internet. Consumer wow. Internet.
Wow. Don't we wish we had that?
Well, you know, the Asian Pacific Rim does. But not us. And of course, I live in a state where, I mean, literally, broadband ends, Joe. Broadband ends at the house next to me. And it's dial up on out the road. And that's, you know, that has nothing to, it's not like they can't find the road. It's not like they don't have trucks that'll get out the road. It's that they, well, it's not profitable for our shareholders.
It's not profitable this quarter.
Right.
Let's be straight about that. That's how American business has been running.
Oh, and I just found this clip. You got to hear this little bit of dialogue because I know how much you dig anime and Japanese culture and stuff.
Uh-oh.
This will just destroy you. It's magnificent if it works.
Wait for the book to get here. I didn't finish printing until this morning, so.
You haven't seen the book yet?
No, not yet. Whew, sorry to keep you folks waiting, but the book's just got here. So, without any further ado, Jimmy James, CEO of Jimmy James Incorporated, will now read from his book, Jimmy James, Macho Business Donkey Wrestler.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, everybody. The original title of this book was Jimmy James, Capitalist Lion Tamer, but I see now that it's Jimmy James, Macho Business, Donkey Wrestler. You know what it is? I had the book translated into Japanese and back again into English, so... Macho Business, Donkey Wrestler. Well, there you go. Got kind of a ring to it, don't it? Anyway, I wanted to read from Chapter 3, which is the story of my first rise to financial prominence. I had a small house of brokerage on Wall Street. Many days, no business comes to my hut. My hut, but... Jimmy has fear? 1,000 times no. I never doubted myself for a minute, for I knew that my monkey strong bowels were girded with strength, like the loins of a dragon, ribboned with fat and the opulence of buffalo. Now, the glorious sunset of my heart was fading. Soon the super karate monkey Death Star would park in my space. But Jimmy has fancy plans and pants to match. The monkey clown, horrible karate, round and yummy, like a cute small baby chick, would eat the donkey.
Just precious.
Just precious. And, you know, but, you know, I have to say that they stole that almost verbatim from the first season of Dragon Ball Z, the translation. So.
Did they really?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's about, you know, I, being an anime fan like I am, I'm generally a fan of subtitles because I prefer to hear the original Japanese voices. Not because I prefer to hear Japanese, but because we do such an awful job of it. And it's funny because some years ago I saw an old Bugs Bunny cartoon that the Japanese had redubbed, you know, in Japanese, and it sounded brilliant. I mean, even with you know, they had Bugs singing, and Bugs was singing in his original voice, but when they went back to the Japanese voice, it still sounded great. And I'm like, they can do this, why can't we? And the reason why we can is the same reason why we've been so crappy at business in over the last 30 years or so, because all we want is something fast, something something that'll make money right this second. Nobody cares about quality. Nobody cares about putting out a good product. It's just, let's get it out there. Let's get it out there fast. And that's all we care about. What are our
case in point, I'm being reminded by our buddy Marty that Life on Mars is, of course, an American ripoff of a far superior BBC series.
Sure.
Because we can't come up with this stuff anymore.
Well, you know, it's okay for us to take things from British shows. I mean, at least one of our greatest shows came from a British show, you know, All in the Family.
Yeah, from Till Death Do Us Part.
Right, and, you know, Sanford and Son from Steptoe and Son, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we are capable sometimes of making it out. Of course, that was back in the 70s when we were actually doing good shows. And All in the Family remains among the cream of the crop as far as writing is concerned. And when you watch that, it still amazes me that we're continuing to have the same arguments day in and day out.
Yeah. Yeah. And frankly, you know, your initial thesis is not ill taken. The guy's not, you know, Obama's not president yet. And I don't know if this is just some sort of weird strutting on the part of the congressional leadership or if they're, see, my sense, Joe, is that the Congress is owned, and you know it's owned, by corporate America.
Right.
For the most part. The people who aren't owned by corporate America are few and far between, and that is both Democrat and Republican.
Right. I'm not arguing with you that. That's your,
and I think they're afraid. I think there's genuine fear that Obama might actually carry through on some of these. You know, I want to see really nutty things done. I want to see food stamps doubled. You know, they're like $6 per person a day, you know, really insane stuff. And I want to see a sincere discussion about health care. But when you consider how many insurance companies own how many members of Congress, don't look too likely. And of course, the single most important piece of legislation that'll come up in the earliest days of Obama's presidency is the Employee Free Choice Act, and it'll pass the House easily. Whether Harry Reid has the stomach for a fight in the Senate, I don't know. And it's, you know, because it, what I saw a statistic yesterday, 78% of Americans say that they would like to join a union if they only could.
Right.
Well, this will make that possible.
The thing about Harry Reid is, why do we have to have him as majority leader? You know, I mean, the Republicans certainly didn't give a damn about seniority when they got in. Why do we?
That would be perfect. You know, the number two guy in the Senate's Dick Durbin, and I don't have a beef with him.
No, Durbin. In fact, I'm sure Obama would prefer Durbin because Durbin was one of his political proteges. What's the word?
Because mentor.
He helped him out when he came in.
Mentor.
And they work well together. Obama knows him, and he knows that you know he can count on him to get things done when he says he needs something done. You know, I wish we had a Lyndon Johnson. To be quite honest, I wish we had a Lyndon Johnson in the Senate to sit there and, you know, grab the guy's arm and twist it behind his back. And I'm remembering the time when Obama went up to Joe Lieberman in the Senate and gave him a good talking to about some bill or whatever. I forget the exact circumstance, but then Obama went up to him and just started talking to him. You know,
right.
Saying, you know, and I don't know exactly what he said, but, you know, Lieberman didn't look happy about it. And maybe Obama ought to get some of these people. Now, and you know, the thing about it is he talked to Feinstein and he talked to, what's his name, the other senator had an objection about Panetta. And as soon as Obama talked to him, they backtracked.
Yeah, well, Rockefeller.
Was it Rockefeller? Okay.
My illusory senator.
He talked to Harry Reid about the Barrett thing and Reid backtracked. So maybe he's in there, you know, nut cutting already. You know, and you need a little bit of both. And you know, FDR had to do that from time to time. But, you know, he had a lot more support in the Democratic Congress than we've got now.
Because they understood that they were in the soup and had to do something.
Yeah, because there was serious stuff going on. I mean, people don't realize how close we were to an actual communist revolution. Things were that bad. And I don't, you know, we're never going to have that really in this country. I think people are too much sheep. But there's also the fact that when people do stand up for something, they get ignored. You know, every time there were protests against the Iraq War, millions of people, more than protested against Vietnam, more than you know, watched Martin Luther King's speech in Washington, the I Have a Dream speech, which had a big effect. The newspaper said, a couple of hundred people showed up, a few thousand, no big deal, nothing to see here. On the other hand, the good news is that half of the newspapers in the country are going out of business. And you know why? Because they suck.
Yep.
They suck. And they don't understand, you know, what is that saying that I like to say? So, pravda ni izvestia, izvestia ne pravda. There is no news in the truth. There is
no truth in the news. Yeah. And, well, you know, it's part and parcel of why we're here, Joe. Somebody's got to. Why not us? Let's have a little candor. And part and parcel of that is, candid statements about or candid thoughts about where we see the country needing to go.
Sure.
Obama has made the Obama thing.
I agree with you, but. Well, a lot of what I see is not candid and is not productive, and it's just infantile. You know, it's like, you know, I just wrote a post about Johnny who wanted a little blue wagon, and he dreamed about having a little blue wagon. But the company that makes the little blue wagons are no longer in existence. So his parents gave him a nice blue wagon with some red trim on it, but he hated it because it had red trim. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, the purity, perfection.
Exactly. I mean, if you want a political party that picks its candidates on ideological purity, look at the Republican Party. That's why they're probably going to wind up with Sarah Palin in 2012.
Oh God, I keep hoping they'll finally find her OxyContin stash and then it'll be all over. But
it's going to be Palin Gingrich 2012, or a combination thereof. Because who else have they got?
Oh man, that just made my eyes roll back in my head. That hurt.
Sure.
Oh.
But that's because. Everything they have to do now is based on ideological purity because they are now the regional party of the old Confederacy. Okay? And we have the best opportunity now to whip things into shape because we have politically isolated these people. And we've actually started to take away some of their stuff. I mean, Virginia and North Carolina flipping was big. Indiana flipping was big. Indiana, the home of the KKK, that was a huge flip. Okay, we still have a ways to go, but at least we're to the point where we've made them politically much more irrelevant, and we could start to, you know, seep into that area. But the problem is, because we've pushed them into that thing, the only choice they have is to become more extreme. So they're going to get worse and worse as things go.
Yeah, they'll get loonier and loonier. And it would be nice to have them completely marginalized. But as long as people like Harry Reid are in the Senate, not fighting back and letting this creepy little minority run the place,
that's not going to happen. Exactly. If you really want creepy,
how about Palin Bush 12?
Oh, Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
Or Neil Bush.
Yeah, Jebby.
Jebby.
Yeah, now Neil doesn't want to be president. There aren't any tie hookers involved.
Well, they wouldn't put Bush in the number two spot. It would be Bush Palin. You know, but that, you know, and the very fact that Sarah Palin is an insult to every voter in the country doesn't occur to the people who, you know, and as I pointed out, one of the other problems that we have is that 60 million people in this country voted for what was probably the most inept, incompetent political campaigns in American history.
Yeah, we have a brains problem, Joe.
And because we have a brains problem, it makes it even more difficult to get anything done because you can't speak reasonably with people.
You know, they're dredging up, the Republicans are dredging up Terry Schiavo over...
Yeah, like that was a good thing for them.
Yeah, over the number three guy at Justice. So... They make me sick, and you know what I think one of the fundamental problems with all of this is that just as the presidential campaign that was the longest in American history was too long by about 11 months, so too this time of transition, because America is aching to see George Bush wave bye-bye, go already.
What did Letterman say the day after the election? Can he just get in there now?
Yeah.
You know, can he just start tomorrow?
And so I think it's wearing on us a little bit. You know, in the chat room there, we've got a counter. Time left in President Bush's term: 10 days, 15 hours, 57 minutes, and 51 seconds.
Yep.
And you know, I'm sitting here looking at it just by force of will. You know, like trying to do some psychic spoon bending on that clock.
You know, hurry up!
Roll, will you? Roll.
A watched pot never boils.
And it feels, and that's the thing. Half of America is watching the pot. And you know what? There are a bunch of Bush voters out there who are ready for him to go, because he's ruined everything that they hoped they could get away with.
A smart Bush would have been a lot more dangerous.
Oh yeah.
The smarter people would have been able to get away with it a lot more. But when you have that kind of arrogance, when you feel like you can do whatever you want, you know, you overstep.
You know, I was over at Bart Cop today, and I saw some classic old Bush quotes. And just like listening to that Jimmy James, the donkey wrestler, macho donkey wrestler thing, where you just sit there and cackle a little bit. You know, I saw some of those Bush things, and it's like, wow, we really did endure 8 years of that. Especially that he married himself a West Texas girl just like me. That was the president of the United States, Joe.
But
human beings and fish can live in peace.
The people who supported Bush most are the ones who celebrate that kind of stupidity. Yeah, he will, man. He did love me. He did love me. I want to be president. Yes, sir. And that's the problem with ideological purity right there, because I don't want somebody... You know, and I'll be straight about this. I don't want somebody as dumb as me, and I don't consider myself a particularly dumb person, but I don't want somebody as dumb as me being the president. Okay, I want the president to be smarter than me. I want him to know stuff, and I want him to be a hard worker, or her. You know, I would have been perfectly happy with Hillary Clinton as president, okay?
Sure, but...
I think she lost the primary fair and square, and I think she put up a good fight, and I think she acted honorably.
And all of this in comparison to John McCain. I would have been happy with an old yeller dog in comparison to John McCain.
And just the idea of, you know, Sarah Palin being that close to being actually president. I mean, John McCain could be dead within the next year of, you know, natural causes. And look where that would have left us. And if you think George Bush is an idiot, and it's not so much that he's an idiot, it's just that he doesn't care. You know, he thinks being president is a part-time job, just like Sarah Palin, and actually the current mayor of Wasilla thinks there's none to being a president because, you know, I'm the mayor of Wasilla. I can do that. I can do being president. And I think, and I'm pretty certain that the Israelis did this whole thing in Gaza just, you know, because they want to do one last thing before the presidency changeover, and they want to send a message to Obama saying we're going to do whatever we feel like. And you know what? It's only going to hurt Israel in the long run, and that's what pisses me off because I love Israelis. I love Jewish people, you know, and I love Israel as a people, but I hate what their government is doing. Just like I love America as a country.
It's dysfunctional.
What government's been doing.
It's dysfunctional. You know, the question that has been raised so many times is, well, what would you do if 20 rockets a day were being fired into your country? You'd bomb, and it's always that same tired old, if the Mexicans were lobbing rockets into Brownsville, Texas.
Well,
we'd go down and we'd bomb them.
All the Mexicans in the Tijuana, and you know they're starving to death. What would you do if we locked you all into Dallas in the middle of the summer, turned off your electricity, wouldn't give you any water? How would you feel?
What would you do? Yeah, and see that's the thing. Well, are we supposed to just sit there and take it? Well, look what you're doing. That's not working either. You know,
how does Dr. Phil say it? How is that working out for you?
Yeah. And as a consequence, look, that old thing, that definition that, you know, doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, is the definition of insanity.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, I first heard that when Clinton was running for office in 92. That was the first time I heard that expression. So, but it's absolutely right. You keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And that's what Republicans do. What are the difference between the Republicans of the 90s? And the early part of 2000s, and the Republicans of the 20s. You know, it's a free ride. The stock market will always go up.
Yeah, it's like they don't even understand. You know, I mean, gravity applies to markets as well. You know, what goes up comes down.
Sure. And also, private industry is always better than the government. And everything the government does is evil. Everything the private industry does is good, and it works because they have incentives. And, you know, Alan Greenspan, you know, he got religion a little late, didn't he?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe, like, it was amazing to me that people, you know, didn't act in their own self-interest. You know, it worked that way in Atlas Shrugged. Well, you know, Alan, it worked that way in Atlas Shrugged because that's the way the writer meant it to work. Because
it's a work of...
fiction!
There we go. That's the word I was looking for.
Republican heroes are fictional. I can't think of a Republican hero that is real. John Wayne never fought a war.
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan never fought in no wars. He was a cowboy actor who was good at making speeches. And even I admit I loved watching him speak when he gave a speech because he always sounded positive and he always sounded nice. But I knew, unlike the other people, I knew it was all BS to cover up the crap that he was all really doing.
Yeah, you knew you were being conned.
I knew I was being conned. And even as much of an idiot as I am, I saw that. Why couldn't they see that? Because they didn't want to see that. They were hearing what they wanted to hear. And they were being told by Reagan what they wanted to hear. It's like going to an astrologer. An astrologer is only going to tell you what you want to hear.
Let's see. I'm seeing a name. The name begins with B. B. It's a B name. Or is it a C? C, D, D? Could it be F? You know, I had a sister named Francis. Francis. Francis is coming through. Right. It's a con.
It's a con. So, you know. And, you know, what people bitch about, you know, I bitch about religion from time to time, but you know what? Astrology predates religion.
Astrology was a religion, but never mind.
Well, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, the practice of it predates, you know, worship of...
Well, just,
you know,
yeah, being able to predict the motions, the risings and the settings of Venus enabled the pre-Columbian Mayan people to build a calendar with nothing more than their naked eye and their brains. That rivals everything we've got today, except for maybe one based on the atomic clock.
Sure, sure. They were smart people, but there's a difference between doing that and saying that, you know, how the stars are aligned basically determine what, you know, your behavior is going to be. Like, you know, what I challenge people is I don't tell them what my birthday is, and I challenge them to tell me what my horoscope is based upon my personality. Because if that's all it's based upon, then my personality should reveal when I was born, right? Listen, I don't want to get too much into this, and I really should let somebody else have a chance to talk. Bob, it was great talking to you.
Good hearing from you, Joe. Take care, and you know, keep at it, and we'll have you back here one way or another. And
I will email you, bobkincaid@gmail.com, right?
Right.
I will email you, and what I'll do is when I make these special commentaries, I will send them to you, and if you want to play them on your show, you can play them on your show.
Cool. And I'll tell.
I'm going to try to, because the problem I was having was getting them to exactly 2 minutes when I was doing the Cup of Joe report.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter anymore. That doesn't matter anymore.
It's done right, because it had to be written properly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, exactly. You take care.
All right, take care and have a wonderful weekend, Joe. Stay warm.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. From snowy, icy, frozen, cold Chicago, our buddy Joe Vecchio, former host on the Horn, and hopefully at some point a future host on the Horn. I mentioned in talking with Joe, I mentioned the statement that Dennis Kucinich had made today regarding the nightmare in Gaza. And, you know, I just continue to be proud of him. I think the man could accomplish things. I think it. I don't believe it. I think it. You know, the U.S. Congress pursued a resolution today affirming your support and my support, American support, for the continued slaughter taking place in Gaza. It was HRES 34, supporting Israel in its battle with terrorist Hamas. Dennis Kucinich said the following. In Gaza, the United Nations gave the Israeli army the coordinates of a UN school, and the school was then hit by Israeli tank fire, killing about 40. The UN put flags on emergency vehicles, coordinating the movements of those vehicles with the Israeli military, and the vehicles came under attack, killing emergency workers. The Israeli army evacuated 100 Palestinians to shelter and then bombed the shelter, killing 30 people. Emergency workers have been blocked by the Israeli army from reaching hundreds of injured persons. Today's Washington Post, 100 survivors rescued in Gaza from roads blocked from Israelis. Relief agencies fear more are trapped days after a neighborhood was shelled. Today, the U.S. Congress is going to be asked to pass a resolution supporting Israel's actions in Gaza. I'm hopeful that we don't support the inhumanity that has been repeatedly expressed by the Israeli army. The U.S. abstained from a U.N. call for a ceasefire. We must take a new direction in the Middle East, and that new direction must be mindful of the inhumane conditions in Gaza, because, you see, the resolution didn't mention the humanitarian crisis of the Palestinians or the Gazan people. It also refused to make any sort of insistence on a ceasefire. And as well, there's this thing out there called the Arms Export and Control Act, AECA, and Israel's in violation of it. And we're in violation of our own law. The AECA requires that each nation that receives a shipment of arms from the United States. And, you know, they've got an issue with shipping arms as well, but it's good for business. And you remember what Silent Cal Coolidge said, the business of America is business. Yeah, forget about it, Cal. It's only business. Each nation that requires any shipment of arms from the United States must certify that the weapons are used for internal security and legitimate self-defense, and that their use does not lead to an escalation of conflict. Israel's in violation of that. There shouldn't be another bullet, another rocket, another anything go out of here. Food, yes. Feed the world. But not another damn bomb. Of course, I realize that marks me as a hopelessly idealistic oh, what? Well, it just marks me as hopelessly idealistic. Because I don't know when that day, if that day is ever going to come, when we realize that selling bullets to other people does not promote internal security or self-defense. It promotes murder, bloodshed, and agony. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob?
Yes.
Hey, it's Solo.
Oh, hey, Solo. How are you?
My name's Elaine. You can use either one.
Okay, Elaine, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for calling.
You just kind of surprised me starting to talk about, after talking to the last gentleman, and then you started talking about Israel and Gaza.
Well, I wanted to put that out there more about Dennis Kucinich than about the issue itself. I remain a big, I hate to say fan, but okay. I remain a profound admirer of what Dennis Kucinich tries to accomplish. And if we had more of him.
Over and over and over again.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, the same goes for Bernie Sanders in the Senate.
Yeah.
Probably the two most admirable individuals in the entire Congress, Dennis Kucinich and Bernie Sanders, at least in my book.
So there is some hope, huh?
Yeah. And, I mean, they can't change things overnight. But at some point in time, Elaine, I think we. And that's what I was trying to talk to Joe about. We can't afford half measures. We can't sort of try to fix this country.
No, we can't.
And we're not going to fix this country by giving more businesses and more corporations more tax breaks.
The rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer.
Right.
It's going to take something major. I mean, it's going to take something, like I was writing in the chat room, like a revolution. I mean, I don't see any other way, despite what Obama is trying to do right now, despite his plan, of which I'm not a real big fan of being on disability at the moment, but despite everything, it's still got to get through Congress. It's going to get stopped up in Congress. Things aren't going to get done. I just don't see anything changing without the people really rising up and making a difference.
I share your misgiving, frankly. And the thing that scares me the absolute most, Elaine, is the fact that we can get a lot of stuff through the House. You know, that was a tremendous step in the right direction with the Lilly Ledbetter law getting passed today in the House. It's what happens in the Senate that has me absolutely, frankly, terrified.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it's not terror born of thinking that we don't have the votes to pass it. It's the fact that Harry Reid persists in allowing the Republican minority to set his agenda for him.
What are the chances of him getting somebody else getting elected or a Senate majority?
It's over.
I don't understand what the law is as far as, is he there until the Republicans take over, or what does it take to get here?
No, every new Congress elects its leadership, and it's over. He's the Senate Majority Leader again. And became so with very little in the way of objection.
But the new senators just got signed, were just oathed in yesterday. Or the day before, they took their oath.
And the first thing they do is set up what their leadership will be.
So that was the first thing they did, was elected Reid again.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So yeah. And
that's not going to change, at least for another 2 years.
Precisely. Barring some sort of unforeseen incident. So we got, you know, the Employee Free Choice Act, health care, the women's pay equity, all of these things. You know, getting out of Iraq it's all dependent on Harry Reid finding a little bit of courage and a little bit of, moral clarity?
Yeah, but I think it's going to take more than just Reid. I think it's going to take a lot of the senators. I've personally been in touch with Bob Casey's office, and I will have to say that his office has helped me out a great deal over the past year and a half. because for some strange reason, Medicaid and Medicare keep telling me that I shouldn't have to go see an orthopedic surgeon more than once a year down in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
That's 3 hours from me. Nobody up between here and Philly will touch me because of my genetic disorder, because of liability. Here in PA, on top of the regular health care crisis, the state of Pennsylvania has been going through probably the most major malpractice crisis liability problems that you've ever seen. We have doctors leaving the state by the thousands and half. In the town that I live in, we no longer have any surgeons, no orthopedics, no dermatologists, no OBGYN. You have to travel a minimum of 45 minutes to an hour to Scranton to get to see most specialists.
And you see, the shame of all of that, Elaine, is the fact that the so-called medical malpractice crisis is a crisis that is almost wholly invented by the insurance industry. It has to do with the way that they write their policies and the way that they assign their risks.
Right.
And
well, that also goes to the bottom line and the corporate biggies, and they don't want to, you know, lose their money. You know, it all goes back to the rich keep getting richer, the poor keep getting poorer. The corporate people aren't going to let the pharmaceutical companies, oh, my God, don't even get me started on that. But because of the law that's supposed to be taking effect in the next 2 years about supplements.
Yes.
You know about that?
Yeah, I've read a little bit about it. Yes.
Supplements that do more for me than allopathic or narcotics, regular medications,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to be either given by prescription. You're going to have to find a doctor which most normal medical doctors don't know a whole hell of a lot about herbal medicine or homeopathy.
Oh, no, they get next to no instruction, next to no education about
those. I went to medical school for a year and a half. Yeah. But anyways, the thing is I'm not going to be able to get my doctor here in this town personally does not believe in any supplements whatsoever. He thinks that yoga supplements, it's all a bunch of hogwash. Once the law takes effect, well, I'm hopefully going to be gone long before then, but because he's not going to write me a prescription for an amino acid that does me more good and relieves the pain better than narcotics do because he thinks it's hogwash.
Oh.
But anyways, it's just the whole thing is a mess as far as the liability. Yes, I understand it is the insurance companies, but it's also the attorneys down in Philadelphia too. And it's both sides not willing to make any concessions whatsoever. And it just keeps getting worse. The problem's not being resolved whatsoever much, and it's having an impact, especially on the poor. I'm blessed enough that my family helps me out to some extent. There's a lot of elderly out here in the country. They don't have family to help them out.
No, they don't. I mean, to be quite honest, let me just say this real quick. My sister died last night of a massive coronary. And she lived in Alabama, and to live in Alabama and be poor is almost at a level of feudal serfdom.
I was in medical school in Alabama. I was in a special program they were helping me with my medical school education, and in return, I was already working. I volunteered out in the rural areas, and it is a nightmare down there.
Yes, it is. And I'm hard pressed to say this because the hurt is still very real. She didn't have to go this way, Elaine. But she couldn't get in to see a doctor. There is very little in the way of medical services provided for people who are poor and who cannot pay either cash on the barrelhead or have money of their own. And frankly, you know, something like a blood pressure pill might have saved her. But there was no coverage for that either.
Right.
I had a professor once who said there are three places in the world you don't want to get sick. China.
Alabama's one of them.
No, well, no, he said China, South Africa, and the United States of America.
Yeah, well, don't we have, like, the third highest infant mortality rate in the world?
In among industrialized nations, I do believe you're right. Yes.
Yeah.
Cuba is so far ahead of us in things like literacy, in infant mortality, in maternal postpartum death, that it's truly embarrassing.
Yeah, it is. And with the research that's going on, I worked at a company in Alabama that was, while I was in school, that was doing research. But most of our funds were coming from France. And that's where the clinical trials were going on, because if we did the clinical trials in this country, it would have been, you know, 15 to 20 years before the drugs could be approved. Something has got to be done. You know, all during the campaign, all you heard from the Republicans is Obama is a socialist. All the Democrats want is socialism. They want to turn this country into a socialist state. What the hell is the FDA? Well, most of our, it's not just the FDA, obviously. What's Social Security? What's a lot of our systems?
What is the highway? What are the highways?
I know, exactly. They're all socialist systems. But obviously, something's got to change, because what we're doing ain't working. You know, what is it they say, that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again?
Expecting a different result.
Expecting a different result? Well, guess what, folks? We've been doing it over and over and over again. We're not getting any different results. It's getting worse. Something has got to change. Something major has got to change. The health industry, the way that the corporations are run, this bullcrap about this non-regulated, the money they basically just handed in the bailout to all the corporate heads. I mean, God forbid that they should go for a month or two without their $25 million a month salary. You know, while at the same time, they're laying 5,000 and 10,000 people out of their jobs in their corporation because they don't have the money to spend. And then that joke of a thing that I heard the other day, I couldn't believe it when I heard it. Just, I know it's a trivial type thing, but that Laura Bush bought the $500,000 worth of dishes for the White House.
Yeah, that rubbed me the wrong way too. That's that's insane, conspicuous consumption, and it just rubs everybody's noses in it.
You know, I'm getting money together, counting pennies to go down and get a half a gallon of milk to get me through the weekend tomorrow. I mean, and our wife's, the whole situation is just absolutely incredible. I've been on both sides of the fence. 10 years ago, I had two homes. My second husband and I, we were doing wonderful. I was thrown from a horse. I broke my back, and that's what started. I had been doing really good with my genetic disorder. I beat the hell out of the odds. I was a paramedic for 15 years when I was told that I'd never be able to do that. I was a gymnast. I was in dance. But after being thrown from the horse and breaking my back, things started to go downhill. Well, when I had a minor heart attack, my insurance company decided to quadruple my premiums. They couldn't, by the law, they couldn't cancel me. They could not cancel my insurance. But what they could do is they went from $497 a month up to $2,800 a month in premiums.
That's criminal.
And basically, I was going to be working to pay, and $2,800 in premiums per month, but I also had $50 co-payments for the doctors. I had $20 co-payments for the medications. Basically, they price you out.
Right. They can't drop you, but they economically force you to drop them.
Right. And that's why I ended up going on disability, because nobody else would touch me. Or excuse me, that's also incorrect, because we got an attorney to look into this. But what he told us, what they did was completely legal. You know, I mean, they can not accept you because I was told that I had lied about a pre-existing condition. My genetic disorder had never caused any problems before, and I didn't lie about it. I put it down on the paper. But because of me breaking my back, that precipitated a lot of things, and basically ever since, anyways, ended up getting a divorce, lost both homes, both cars, and I lost residency of my children.
Oh, God.
Which nearly destroyed me.
Dear God.
You know, I've made it through the past 10 years. Hadn't been easy. I had no choice but to go on disability.
Well, see, that's one of the things that I love best about what we get to do here at the Horn Elaine is let people tell their own stories and let people share their reality. Because, you see, you're largely invisible. Right.
I'm not invisible here in the town I live in.
No. But I mean,
but I'm certainly not very well liked either.
To the for-profit only media, you don't exist, I don't exist, and a woman in Northwest Alabama dropping dead of a heart attack doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And talking about medical care for everyone is communism. You see, I do remember back to we were talking about Dennis Kucinich a minute ago. I remember back when the Democrats were having their pageants. I called them pageants, not debates. The only thing that anybody would ever ask Dennis Kucinich is, well, did you really see a UFO? And they said, well, you know, he's short. But the fact of the matter was, when he could get a word in edgewise, he would say, you know, H.R. 676, the Medicare for All Act, is enrolled in the House. And all we have to do is pass that, and we start solving our problems. And, you know, that's one of the things that makes the Employee Free Choice Act so important for working people. If they can get into an organized labor, the collective bargaining unit, among other things, that has health care with it. And health care and a whole bunch of the health care debate gets solved just with nothing more complicated than union membership. And then we can move with determination and real insight toward taking care of the people who are left out of that equation. You know, pre-existing conditions. I hate that phrase more than just about any other one in medicine. Because what it is is you get something and it becomes a cudgel. You know, it's bad enough being sick. But then the sickness is used as a cudgel against you to make you sicker.
Oh, I know.
And that makes me nuts.
So I'm not very well liked. I don't know if you had read earlier in the chat room when we were talking about different localities and stuff. We mentioned some of the things about the election. Here in the small town I live in, the lady that was on speaking to you was talking about that, people were talking about Obama being a Muslim and the Antichrist.
Yes.
The local Democratic headquarters here in town had to be shut down because 3 days in a row after they got out and cleaned it up every night, people were going by and spray painting it with Antichrist, we don't want a Muslim destroying our country, things like that. The area that I live in, and not just as far as Democrat, Republican, as far as the health care, it just makes everything worse. But like I said, I had been writing a blog, and I guess you could probably consider it a pretty damn liberal blog. And it was obviously pro-Obama. Somehow somebody got my IP address.
And shut you down?
Yeah. And I was getting some really nasty, well, they didn't hunt me down as far as my actual location, but they got my email address. They found the town that I was living in and knew that I was on Main Street somewhere. That was enough to scare me. Considering some of the things that were going on in this town the last couple of weeks of the election, I took the blog down and kept my mouth shut for about a
month. We've got another listener somewhere generally within... in your region, and he was, and that's our buddy Spike, originally from Easton, and he was talking. He sent me some links to some real ugliness in the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah.
That was, frankly, I would have expected to see in Mississippi or Alabama.
Lehigh Valley, that area is now becoming known. All that area down there around Allentown, south of Philly, is becoming known pretty much as the headquarters of the new neo-Nazi groups.
Ugh.
That's where quite a few of them have their headquarters out in the woods down there.
Yeah, because America needs some more of those.
Yeah.
Dear heavens.
And, but, you know, and then the commercial that, the, or not the commercial, I guess it was on the news, the clip that they were showing during the campaign about when people were going to vote someplace out in western Massachusetts and some of the things that people were yelling while they were standing in line. Played over and over and over again.
Yeah, I saw it. Well, there was, that's the thing. There were a lot of those. There was that stuff. It was shot in Ohio. It was shot in PA. It was shot.
Right.
And the level of venom and vitriol, and you know, it wasn't spontaneous. That's the other sickening thing, Elaine, is it was ginned up.
No, and it's not spontaneous, and that is the way these people feel. And you can't change their minds. I mean, it doesn't matter. You can sit there and you can show them things. Well, this man didn't really mean to say that Obama was a Muslim and the Antichrist. Well, that doesn't matter. He is. We know he is.
And how do you know that? Because that's what we believe.
Right.
That's why I despise that word, believe.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out, just a small anecdote. I'm trying to move to another place. And the first, when I mentioned a town and somebody in the room, my family is down in Florida, but my mother's originally from the Massachusetts area. And she tends to, I've never quite understood the thinking. but anyways, I mentioned that there was an area in Massachusetts that I was thinking of moving to that I looked at an apartment. Oh, my God, there's Portuguese there. I was silent. I'm like, and your point is? What is it with the Portuguese? Am I missing something? And then I said something else, and my mother said, oh, no, that area is German. Okay.
And we're looking for what?
Yes.
You know, the.
Well, those areas were settled by the Portuguese and the German 200 years ago. So what the hell does that have to do with me moving there? In 2009. Those are just areas that you don't want to be because they're Portuguese and German. Here in the town that I live in, we have two Catholic churches, two Methodist churches, two Episcopal churches, and four Baptist churches. This town, the population during the wintertime is no more than 500.
And okay. That's because nobody's comfortable going to church with each other?
The one, I'm only positive about the Catholic churches. One Catholic church is German and Italian, and the other one is Irish. I'm not sure where those of us that fall outside the Irish, German, and Italian are supposed to be going. Haven't been a practicing Catholic in 30 years anyways. But anyways, and apparently it's the same with the other churches. And then of course the Baptist church, one is fundamentalist, one they actually call progressive. I've been really curious to go down there and figure out what the progressive Baptist church is. Coming from the South, that's something that.
Yeah, it sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't like to put down religions. Okay, I think of myself. I don't like to talk about what I believe. To me, that's something personal, but. I just could never understand why are the churches divided and why all of a sudden I say something about these towns in Massachusetts. This is 2009, but after going through the campaign that we just went through and seeing these people, their attitudes, this town, like somebody had said earlier, people up north, people don't come out and voice their racism. They don't come out and say there better not be and come in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
Just, well, honey, you know, I just really don't think it's a good idea to have, you know, somebody that's that color in this area. Very nice and sweet and proper. But, racism is, the county that I live in, I think there's maybe a total of 12, I think, at last count, black people in this county.
Oh. I understand that because I lived in a county in this state for a while that had zero. None.
Well, I was brought up in Tallahassee and spent 11 years in Alabama. So moving up here has been a cultural experience, to say the least. But up until I had never actually seen the examples of the racism until the presidential campaign.
Don't think it's going to go away after the inauguration. It will continue to ramp up.
It's not going to, and that's what scares the hell out of me. These people, you go read any of these fundamentalist Christian blogs, you go read any of these right-wing blogs, all they're doing is stepping up the hate, stepping up the ignorance, and trying to pass their message along to anyone who will listen to them. And it's scary as hell. And that's what I was saying to begin with. It's going to take some type of a major uprising by people that actually have some common sense. And God forbid, one of the things that really gets to me about these people is they sit there and, oh, you damn liberals, you think everybody's just going to sit around and say, kumbaya, peace and love, for God's sakes. Oh, my God, that would be the most horrible thing in the world.
Yeah, wouldn't that just be terrible? Yeah,
I mean, what is it with these people?
They're fueled by hate, Elaine, and they are terrified because they don't understand the world they live in. And I hate to say they, but I really, these are...
You don't have much of a choice.
No.
I just don't, and a lot of these people are highly educated people. Where is their common sense? Where is their intelligence?
Well, they have it, but it is assaulted on a daily basis by radio, by television, by print. And if they go to church, you're fairly new to the network.
Well, that's one thing. I mean,
that's where it all gets reinforced.
Yeah, but you have a choice to turn the television on or off or what channel to watch if you're going to watch it. You have a choice of what you're going to listen to, what you're going to read. If you start reading something that's preaching, hey, all these so-called born-again Christians, far-right born-again Christians who so believe in the gospel, well, my God, when you start that, well, if you believe in the gospel, why are you...
But they never read the gospel. Anytime with these fundamentalists and born-agains or evangelicals or whatever they are, when you catch them quoting stuff, they're quoting from the Old Testament or they're quoting from from St. Paul, and it's stuff that's directly contrary to anything that Yeshua taught, and that's one of the basic problems. The other problem lies in the fact that people look these terrified people look for ways to avoid responsibility. And the right wing provides them.
Wait, that's what I'm accused of doing. I'm the one that's leeching off of. I worked since I was 15 years old, and I'm still working on a freelance basis when I possibly can. But I'm accused every time I go to the store, if I've got food stamps, of being irresponsible and not wanting to take responsibility for my life. There have been editorials in the paper, in a local paper, not this exact town, but in a local area, saying that I was a prime example of a person, us liberal Democrats, that don't want to take responsibility for our own lives.
Oh, that makes me... I don't know how you sit still for it. It's maddening. But the fact, you know, because, you know, oh, food stamps, yeah, that's some high living, that $3 a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't spend it all in one place.
$3 a day? Boy, whoever's getting that is lucky.
Yeah, that's it. We'll see, but yeah, we can't do that. That's welfare. And the thing is, these bigotries are fueled by a philosophy that affords people who pay attention to it, these terrified people, a way out. Because whether it's Fox or right wing radio or whatever, it's always those people causing the problem. They're, you know, liberals, Mexicans. Gay people.
If they listen to some common sense and they really practice what they preach or what they so say they so, you know, believe in or whatever, that is a way out. If they would listen to the truth, what they are preaching and what they are supposedly learning and spreading all over, that's not the truth. If they would, I don't know, I'm sorry. I feel like I am just absolutely, completely blocked in here. I sometimes don't leave my apartment, like around the times of the campaign and everything. I didn't leave my apartment for 2 months except for a doctor's appointment.
Because of all the nastiness outside.
Yeah, and you can call me paranoid if you want to, but if you saw the damage that was done to businesses and everything in this area.
Oh, no, no, no. I don't think it's paranoid at all. We put an Obama sign in our yard, and within 24 hours, the children on my kid's school bus were calling them N-lovers.
Yeah. Oh.
No, there's no paranoia. That's not, because it was intimidation. It was meant to intimidate people.
Right.
And I'm sure that some people were intimidated away from the polls. Or were just so put off of the process that they didn't bother. Fortunately for us, it wasn't enough to sway the election, but it was very, very real.
Oh, it was. I had several people trying to talk to me on my way into the poll and on my way out, and I just kept my mouth shut, my eyes forward on the person that was brave enough to give me a ride down there, didn't say a word to anybody, and came home. But I'm hoping and praying in my own way that I am going to be able to move out of this town, move to a place where I can have a voice and where I can try to help. I've spent most of my life volunteering in organizations, not activism organizations, but at the age I'm at right now and with my disability and because of what's going on in our country today, that's what I want to do.
And we need so much of that from so many people.
You know, and I will do, you know, I've already said the state that I'm hoping to move to. If I can get near Boston and get involved in some of the larger organizations, because it's not going to happen as long as I'm here. I can't do it.
No, there's too much.
I've written a couple of op-ed articles, but I end up using a pseudonym for it. Or something, because I'm so scared of living in this area. These people, their ignorance scares me. You know, ignorance breeds anger, which breeds hate, which breeds violence.
Exactly. I think that's where it all comes
from.
And the question is all in how do you oppose it? How do you, ignorance is cured by education.
One thing is you can try to educate people. But it's going to take more than, and I think we all know, it's going to take a hell of a lot more than just because most people, or at least the people that I have been exposed to in this area, they don't want to be educated. They don't want to learn.
No, they're happy in their fear.
They're
baptized in it, frankly.
Yeah. Whatever Obama does is going to be wrong. Period.
Sure.
If he was able to turn the economy around in 6 months, they would find something wrong that the man did it. He had Osama bin Laden's help, or they'd make something up.
Well, and that last is
realize that this means it's the end of the world.
Right, and see, it's the polar opposite of what happened with George Bush, because if George Bush had been caught drowning babies in the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue, the right wing would have sworn that he was baptizing them.
Yeah.
I remember during the Clinton administration thinking that if Bill Clinton went into a burning building and saved children, the Republicans in Congress would find some way to try to mount an investigation into his corruption in doing so.
Right.
We don't understand them, Elaine, you and I do. But the good old boys in the world's largest country club think that they can get along with them. You can't. They're bullies. Bullies behave like bullies until you put them in their place. But it's been wonderful talking with you.
But the thing that I keep coming back to that really gets me, though, too, and I understand that a lot of the educated people are going along with all this crap and just facilitating it even more. Because they're corporate CEOs, they don't want to give up their money. They know the Republicans are going to fight for their money. As long as they've got these people behind them, the heads of the pharmaceutical companies don't have to worry about losing their 8 homes. You know?
Yeah.
But I still don't understand why there are so many that aren't CEOs, so many little people that are Republicans that can't see what this is doing, that have brains. They can't,
Well, you know, there's that old phrase out there that
boggles my mind.
There's that old phrase out there that says you can't cheat an honest man. And what it is with these so-called working class Republicans, what they don't understand, Elaine, is, or what they no, back up, what they think, what they believe. There we go. What they believe is that someday they can be one of those CEOs, and they want to make sure they're going to get as rich as everybody else. Because all you got to do is haul yourself up by your bootstraps, because that's what they get told. So, you know, and
the trickle down theory.
Sure, exactly. But I've got another light blinking here, and I'm going to try to roll on and get that conversation in before the end of the program. I certainly hope you will not be a stranger.
All right. Thanks for talking to me.
Take care, Elaine, and have a wonderful weekend. The best that you possibly can have.
I'm planning on it.
All right.
I'm gonna do some writing and some reading.
Here, here. And if you put stuff up for public consumption, make sure we know about it.
All right. I sure will.
All right. Take care.
Keep up the good work and hang in there. It does get better. It takes a while. I said just real quick about my fiance 3 years ago, it mm-hmm. takes a while, but hang in there.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Take care. Elaine calling from Pennsylvania, first-time caller. I love hearing from first-timers. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. It's Cindy from the Northwest.
Hey, Cindy. How are you? Staying dry?
Oh, yeah. I thought I'd call you in with a give you an update from up here. But before I do that, I want to mention one fact that I jotted down during your last conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Dennis Kucinich is exactly the same height as John McCain.
Yes, he is. And he's actually an inch. He's right at the same height as Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I don't understand why Kucinich is continued short, but that it doesn't even come into conversation when you talk about McCain.
Well, but see, McCain's macho because he bombed little peasant villages and burned up babies and stuff, so that makes him a hero. So that makes him automatically a little taller.
Right, right, right. Okay, well, anyway, I just wanted to mention that they're the same height, and so, you know, so much for making cracks about Kucinich. I wanted to mention about the flood that we were talking about up here today.
Mm-hmm.
This was a doozy. We had 7 inches of rain the first afternoon, 14 inches of rain. Just about every 12 hours we got hit with 7 inches of rain on top of a snowpack that was enormous but not packed like a glacier. Our mountains go dry in the summer now. We don't have glaciers anymore. So the snow that comes in for the winter is sitting on dry ground, and it's fluffy, and when the rain hits it, it just completely washes off the mountain. That's what's happening out here. So an enormous amount of snow just hit those rivers and came running down, and it cut off the town of Morton, for one thing. They were completely evacuated, and Morton was isolated. The highway was closed for 20 miles. There was I think 17 feet of water on the highway. And last year when we had the flood, that 17 feet of water, I think it was 14 feet last year, that water that sat in there took almost 2 weeks to drain. This time it drained in one day. It was gone in one day, and they opened the road up today at noon. You know why it got opened? Because last year's storm wrecked such havoc down the canyons between the mountains where the rivers flow. The trees slid off the mountains. There were mudslides everywhere. The trees floated down the river and tore out all the walls of the rivers. And instead of being beautiful little brooks, now they're just dug out, gigantic, cavernous chutes that go straight to the ocean. And during the regular water season, there's just this little brook that runs down the bottom of this chute. And the new walls that were carved out last year are standing at about 25 feet high, straight sheer wall, 25 feet of rock, and then you go down to the foot of the brook to go fishing now. And it used to be that the brook was on flat ground. You could sit on the edge and fish. Now you got to climb down 15 feet of wall to get to the brook. Well, it's this way for 60 miles.
Wow.
That I have seen with my own eyes. So when the water hit the freeway, it started to drain really fast because now it has a drain ditch with 15-foot walls running straight to the ocean, and it only took one day to drain it. Do you understand what I'm...
Yes, I do.
I hope I made that.
Well, that, you know, that's no good for the water table. That's no good for the mountains. That's no good for the forest. That's no good for the people. Because
no, not at all. And I was looking at some scientific information about trees and how much water they hold back. And a tree has its bark for protection and whatnot. But inside the tree, the fiber of the wood is completely vertical from the ground to the top of the tree. And out here we have billions of fir trees. And when a tree drinks up the water from the earth, it sucks it up like a soda straw and holds it inside this interior fiber. And that's why the rings in a wet year are fat, because the tree expands and holds
right.
that water.
Yeah.
And when the winter season is over and spring is over and the hot season comes in the summer, the tree lets moisture out through its needles, and it makes a misted moisture in the forest. And when you have a tight, mature forest full of trees, that mist keeps the entire forest moist and cool so that you never have forest fires. But now that we've let these loggers go in and strip these forests, we don't have moisture in the forest anymore. They don't stay cool. There's not enough trees to draw up the water. And so the forests are drying out, and that's what's causing these massive forest fires. They have off-road vehicles, and these guys go running through there on their motorcycles, and they spark fires, and they're 5 miles down the road before the fire even begins, and they don't even know they started a fire. But the brush is it's just so tinder dry anymore because we have overlogged our forests, and it's really terrible. But that's what's causing all of this, and that's.
Well, see, we see something similar here in Appalachia, Cindy, because after you've mountaintop removed a hill, no matter what they do to so-called reclaim it, the topsoil's gone, and so is the vegetation, all those things that soak up that water, so that an ordinary spring rain that would, you know, be no big deal suddenly becomes a flood torrent because there's nothing to slow it down.
Well, I want to paint you another picture that's true. I live on the west side of the Cascade Mountains between the Cascades and the ocean. And then there's the east side. You got to ask yourself, how come none of this rain went down the east side and flooded them out? Well, on the east side of Mount St. Helens, they left all that downed timber in place as an experiment. And a new forest has grown there, and it's thick and lush, and it holds water. And all those forests back up in there going into Mount Adams, they're all thick and lush, and they hold the water back. And they don't have this problem back there. But on this side of the mountain, on the side of the mountain that's closer to the Weyerhaeuse lumber camp, they logged the mountain after the blast. And it took them, you know, 20 years to pick up all that wood. But they picked up all that wood. They recovered it all, and they sent it to the pulp mill and made brown paper bags for your shopping convenience. And so the west side of Mount St. Helens looks like the surface of the moon.
Yeah.
And that's why we get this devastation. There's nothing to hold back the water, and we desperately need about 3 or 4 billion trees planted in our state, and we got to get them in the ground fast. That's one of the recovery things that our nation needs to do. We need to get out and plant trees. Personally, I have planted, Stephen and I have put in about, I think about 300 trees to date. We buy them and go out and plant them everywhere. Every year we go out and we plant trees. And, you know, we'll have a bunch of them in the truck, and we'll go down a road, and when we see an open area that would look beautiful with trees, we just get out, grab the shovels, and start planting our trees.
Now, I love that kind of activism. I really do. Hey, Cindy, I've got to roll along. We have come up to the end of the program. Don't apologize. Do call back, and we will extend the conversation, okay?
Okay, Bob. And, Bob, my condolences for your sister, the loss of her. I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate that.
Have a good week.
I'm still trying to sort out something needs to be said, and I haven't figured out what it is yet, but I'll probably come up with it sooner or later.
Yeah,
but thank you very much.
Time.
It
too
does.
Much of a shock that you're in right now, a mild form of shock. But
yeah, it is. And it's just a damn sad.
My heart goes out to you.
Thank you. And you and Steve have a wonderful weekend, okay?
Okay, you too, Bob.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye now. So that's it for this broadcast week that has been kind of weird and technically squirrely. Don't forget the weekend programming coming up. Don't forget the Rick Smith Show from Pennsylvania. Don't forget Rick's Place with horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner. Billy Shears will have another program. And on Sunday evening from 9 to midnight, John Fox and All Foxed Up. So you've got a chance for a little bit of conversation on the weekend, too. Thanks to everybody who supports the Head On Radio Network with your kind and generous contributions, whether they be monetary or intellectual or emotional. Thank you for your emails, your calls, your participation in the chat room. Hey, headonradionetwork.com/forum. Start burning up those message boards, folks. That's what it's there for. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. Be back Monday. I hope you will be as well. Thank you, John Fox, Peter Godbold, Ben Birch, the most overworked man in liberal talk. Thank you, whiterosesociety.org. And always, 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 RMR, Gina. It's all for you.
Cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! All right, let's try this again. I think we've gotten knock wood. Wait a minute, that's no good. There, that's wood. That's nice, solid wood there. Knock 'em for all I'm worth. Knock wood, everything is working. Ben busted his rear end getting things straightened out on the server end. And I've been on the phone with CityNet on this end, and it appears that everything is working, and the packets are passing, and they're all happy. And we may actually get through 3 hours of high-quality conversation radio this evening without me winding up soliloquizing to a cold microphone without even knowing it. You have no idea how frustrating that is. And, thanks to all of you for your many kind words and your emails and your condolences regarding the loss in our family. It's still quite a shock, but I don't think, under the circumstances, that I'm going to be going anywhere down there for any sort of funeral service, because they're really not going to do something like that. So thank you very kindly. This is a little family that we've built for ourselves, and you can certainly tell that in times like these. I got to admit, my head is still not completely in the game, but it will be. It will be. But we'll have us a high old time tonight. I'm certain of it. And you know the phone number, of course, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. That is complimented, of course. That's toll free, but if you want to carry the freight yourself, you can also dial 304-658-3333. It all comes to the same place. Email rolls into bob@headonradio.com, and I'm looking forward to whatever's on your mind this evening.